జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. తిరిలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్యశీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరద చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం పాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాం. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్తి హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాధరమాజ్జుహవాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారినాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకుణితాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభతా మురారే మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం
ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമദ്ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ മൂഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചാം ഇതം തുമേ ഗുഹ്യതമം പ്രവക്ഷ്യാമി അനസൂയവേ ജ്ഞാനം വിജ്ഞാനസഹിതം യജ്ഞാത്വാ മോക്ഷസേ അശുഭാദ് രാജവിദ്യാ രാജഗുഹ്യം പവിത്രം ഇദമുത്തമം പ്രത്യക്ഷവഗമം ധർമ്മ്യം സുസുഖം കർത്തും അവ്യയം അശ്രദ്ധദാനപുരുഷ ധർമ്മസ്യാസ്യ പരന്തവ അപ്രാപ്യമാം നിവർത്തന്തേ മൃത്യു സംസാരവർത്മനി സോ വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദീസ് ത്രീ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ദിസ് തേർഡ് വേഴ്സ് വാട്ട് വാസ് ദാറ്റ് ശ്രദ്ധ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് വാസ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് ശ്രദ്ധ വാട്ട് ഡസ് ശ്രദ്ധ മീൻസ് Shraddha is another form of mind. You will find in the Vedic literature several terminologies indicating the same thing depending on the situation. When the mind, which is a powerful energy that comes from the Chit Shakti, from the source, when it gets purified, eventually that turns into Shraddha. That's what is called Shraddha. When the purification of the mind happens, that will become Shraddha, which we have seen yesterday. And also we talked about this, that it is the Shraddha that becomes Bhakti later. That Shraddha becomes Bhakti. That is how it is. So this chapter, Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam Yogam, Rajaguhya Yogam, Krishna is discussing that how that knowledge of the soul will develop in a person when all these requirements are met inside him. That means freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the false ego, and freedom from the body. These things has to happen. And that is what this knowledge is all about. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Yogam is all centered around that understanding. So we mentioned yesterday also that we have what is known as two things, Paroksham and Aparoksham. Remember that? Paroksham and Aparoksham we have seen yesterday. Paroksham means and that means everything that you know, you come to know through your senses, or you come to know through your intelligence. So there is that is what is known through the intelligence and senses. It is called pratyaksham, is a direct perception. In other words, through senses you are perceiving something, and that is called a direct perception. Now equally
you can understand many things through inference. Through inference you can know many things. And through your mind intelligence also you can know many things. That means if you study Shastram with your mind and intelligence, like they do in the universities and colleges, they study Shastram through their mind and intelligence, is it not? So if you study Shastram in that way, what you get from there is Paroksham. You have not experienced it. It is in the in a stage where it is in your mind and the brain. Mind and the intelligence is staying there. So, what changes that Paroksham into Aparoksham is Aparoksham, once it becomes Aparoksham, it has come to your experience level. You are an experience level then. Then it will not leave you again. Paroksham will go, Aparoksham will stay. Paroksham will go. Just like any other knowledge, even Vedic knowledge, Vedic literature and the Shastram also, if it remains in the Paroksham level, it will go at the time because it's in the mind and the brain. It has to go. Like every other knowledge, what we have acquired in this world, it will leave you at the time of death, is it not? It will not go further than that. Even before that, it will start showing its sign. Just like school studies, what you have done at school and even in college, many things you may not remember now. Why? Because it was all Paroksham. It was all in your mind and the brain, and that will go. So that's not going to stay. But Aparoksham is when Paroksham has become direct experience inside the person who is experiencer. Acceptance has happened inside. And then it becomes what is called Aparoksha Anubhuti. It's Anubhuti it is then. Experiencing that in the Aparoksha Anubhuti. So, yesterday we have seen that. like we have one thing Krishna has given us from birth itself is this Aparoksha Anubhuti of our own existence. Isn't it? That's Aparoksham. That's not Paroksham. That experience that I am existing, you are existing. Each one of us is aware of our own existence. I may not be aware of others' existence. I may see others' existence when I open my eyes that others exist. But my own existence, even if I close my eyes, even if I sit in a dark room or in any situations, I am conscious of my own existence, awareness of my own existence. That is Aparoksham. That is Aparoksham. So, but body is not Aparoksham. That you have to remember. Only awareness is Aparoksham. Body I am aware of. If I touch my body, I am aware of my body. Or I have to consciously, in my consciousness, body does not exist. This is the most important point. In my consciousness, body doesn't exist. People find that very difficult to accept that principle. So for example, you will notice this like that. sometimes people get amputated, their hands or legs, right? And when they are amputated, and it is a very important thing, try to listen to this carefully. Hand or leg is amputated. And immediately after the operation, after you come out of your unconscious state, you are taken back home and you are sleeping in the night under tranquilizers or even in a normal deep sleep state. Suddenly, the patient is saying he is feeling the pain in the leg which has been amputated already. It's been cut and taken out, but the patient is saying that he or she is feeling the pain in the leg. How? Why is that? This is because this existence of the body in its as it is now is registered in the brain. Till that registration goes away from there, which will take some time. Earlier, as far as he is concerned, the leg exists. In his brain, the leg exists. But physically, you have removed the leg. or the hand, whatever that is. So, when, even though the leg is gone, you are complaining about the pain. Oh, I'm feeling the pain in the feet, which has been amputated already. I'm complaining about that. This is because the registered knowledge in the brain of the existence of the leg hasn't gone. That is how it is. And you can see there that, that thing, that movement of the removal of the part of the body has not come to the brain yet. It has only happened in the physical body. So, therefore, brain knows whether we have a body, we have a got a body or not. The brain knows about that. That is why in Vedantam what they say is like this, that if you come to know in your brain, if you come to know in your brain that the body does not exist, that the body does not exist, in the same way, while the body is there, if in your brain you come to know the body doesn't exist, it is the reverse logic. Just like if you remove the feet in the brain, it, and then after a while, after, for example, when you are had the operation and you are coming and lying down on your bed, say suddenly the phone rings, the person gets up and goes to the phone because he does not know that the leg is gone. He forgets that in his sleep. He forgets that. He goes and tries to pick up the phone and he falls down at that time. This is because of this factor, that body is only registered in the brain and the mind. It's not registered in the consciousness. Consciousness, it's not registered. Registered in the body, brain and the mind. And when the brain or the mind suddenly did not react properly, you will go and do the same thing. Again, what you were doing in your full, when you had a full body. So, what Vedantam says is, in Vedantam, the argument is this, that if this is correct, if this is how it is happening, that if you take the reverse form, that while living, just like if a part is gone, if the registration goes from there, you are finally aware of that. Because it's happening like that, if in your brain and mind, if this existence of the body goes away, then you are out of trouble. You see, this existence of the body is not in the soul. This is the important point. That is why Krishna is saying in the Ekadasha Sandham to Uddhava, Dehastho Bina Dehastha. This is what that happens then. Dehastho bhi na Dehastha. Deham is there, body is there, but he is not in the body. That is that state. So, while living itself, if you lose that identification with the body, which is registered in your mind and the brain, which is registered there, if you lose that connection, that the body, of course, that has to happen through spiritual process, not by cutting it down into pieces, not that way. But what they are saying is that if this can happen in a healthy state, normal state, through spiritual activity, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Dehastho bina dehastha vidvan sopnad yathotitha. That means a person, while he was dreaming, in his dream state, he wakes up, isn't it? When he wakes up, what happens? He comes back to his body. In the dream state, he was not in the body. You have to remember that. He was in his, what is called a dream body. Dream body means, which is an expansion of the mind. It was in the mind he was involved with, not in the gross body. So he comes back to awakened state, he comes back to his body, gross body. So, Dehastho bina dehastha vidvan sopnad yathotitha. When he comes back into the body from the dream state to the awakened state, he becomes aware of his own gross body. Krishna is saying, similarly, Dehastho bina dehastha. Even though he is in his gross body, he is not in the body. Krishna is saying that. It's a very interesting statement to Uddhava. Dehastho bina dehastha vidvan sopnad yathotitha. On the other hand, adehastho bina dehastha. Somebody, that is what happens at the time of death. Why do we feel the misery of death? Because when we leave this body, in our registration it has not gone in the subtle body. We haven't lost it. So therefore, we want to come back to this body again. This is the reason when death happens, immediately the Vedic system is that you should burn the body as soon as possible and get rid of it as quickly as possible. Because what he wants to do after leaving the body, in the subtle body he is carrying this registration of this gross body. Although the body is finished, he is still carrying the registration there. So they want to come back to this gross body, but he can't. This is the situation, and it stays around in that state, around the body. So therefore, the system is that from time immemorial, that as soon as death happens, as quickly as possible, the body should be disposed of. Body should be disposed of. You will see riverbank in the Ganges, how many bodies are burned every day. Every day. So many bodies, they brought, burned, and straight away thrown the ashes into the sea and got disposed of. Because the person is gone, what's the point in worrying about this body? That's the principle behind it. So as quickly as possible it should be. That's why Krishna says there, Dehastho bina dehastha uddhava, Dehastho bina dehastha vidvan swapnat yathotida, Adehastho bina dehastha kumadi swapnadrik yatha. Which means that one who has not cultivated spiritual life, who never discussed, thought about his body, about the soul, what will happen to him at the time of death? Because he will lose his body. He has to die. When he dies, he is adehastam. He is adehasta. He has no deham. But he is thinking, I have got this body. He is not able to get rid of it from inside, from him. So, kumati, Krishna says, that person is a, the actual translation for kumati is idiot. The correct translation is, he's an idiot, is Krishna is saying. Kumati. Because he has no brain. Kumati. Swapnadrik yatha, Krishna says. Swapnadrik. That means like in the swapnam, he is still living in his dream, thinking that I got this body. And therefore, he has got serious problems. He has got serious problems. So, this is a, that is why this whole Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadashi Skandam particularly, is all supporting this Bhagavad Gita's principle very strongly. That's why Krishna is saying here, this knowledge, what is spoken in this Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yogam chapter, is so important that in the process of self-realization, we have to cross through so many barriers. The barrier of the body, the barrier of the mind, barrier of the intelligence, barrier of the ego. All these things we have to get rid of one after the other. And in that process, we have to scrutinize and analyze every stage very carefully and get ourselves convinced on that first, that this is the reality with the body. So, here you can see that, so, dehastho bina dehastha. So, what will happen at that stage is, the liberated person, even if he has a body, gross body, he still has the gross body with him, but in him, he knows that he doesn't have a body. If you look from outside, he has got a body. The person has got the body. But inside, the actual person, he doesn't have the body. We are thinking he has got a body, but he knows he doesn't have a body. Because he has already, dehastho bina dehastha. He is not in dehastha anymore. That is that statement in the Bhagavadam. Spiritual life is very much centered around, yesterday we discussed this. From the Vedic point of view, discussing about God is not such an important thing. And the reason being that when you know yourself what you are, then you will know what God is. First you have to know yourself what you are. But most of the time what we discuss, God exists somewhere else in some other planet. What he is doing there, we don't know. We are speculating here, sitting here, what he is doing there. And how he is enjoying. And we are thinking that that concept, God exists somewhere, the world is existing here, and I am existing. These three things, Jiva, Ishvara, and Jagat. Three, Jiveshwara, Jagat. These three things are called Tripudi. In Vedantam, they call it as Tripudi. When these three things has to go, this is a very lower stages of realization of spiritual life. A very low stage of realization in the spiritual life. But when one Shraddha wakes up in a person and these questions start, in the Bhagavatam you can see this process, how it's been introduced. Brahma themselves asked the first question, who am I? That's the question he asked. He didn't ask who is God or who created this world. Nothing was asked. First question he asked, who am I? Ka esha. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third canto. Ka esha. Who am I? Kaha, kaha. That's how he got this name, kaha. So, same way, that principle rishis have given to us this. That you inquire about yourself and find out who you are, then everything else will be known to you. You don't have to make any separate efforts. First of all, you have to know yourself what it is. So, that's what Krishna is saying here. So, so yesterday we talked about this. We mentioned there yesterday that the very clearly we have to know this, that whatever you know through your mind and intelligence, that is never the truth. That is never the truth, what you know through your mind and intelligence. And one statement. And second statement, truth cannot be known. Truth cannot be known. Never. Truth cannot be known. Knowing is the activity of the mind and the brain. And experiencing it, anubhavam, which is anubhuti, is consciousness. Truth is only experienced, it's not known. This you have to separate mind and intelligence straight away from the consciousness. Truth is never known through mind or intelligence. That's the first principle. That if you try to understand the truth with the mind and intelligence, you won't understand. And when you are experiencing it, then mind and intelligence is of no use there. Ultimately, you have to. Yes. Therefore, what you know is never the truth, and the truth is never known. Truth is never known. So, there we have mentioned also that knowing is through mind and the intelligence. But awareness is waking up. Waking up inside. It has to come from inside. It has to come from inside. That awareness has to come out from inside, which is already there in all of us. Isn't it? So, as I mentioned yesterday, the world, we know about it. We don't experience it. The body, we know about it. We don't experience it. We don't experience. Experience is only for the consciousness. Only for the consciousness experiences things, not otherwise. Consciousness only experiences things. So, body is known, not experienced. Body is not experienced. The reason why this point is not easy to, so for many people, difficult to accept it, is because of the lack of Shraddha. Lack of Shraddha, that is the reason behind it. Too much on a mental platform or in the bodily level, therefore it happens like that. So, but having said all this, Krishna saying that awareness, aham, 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 that awareness, that is the most important thing. That is where our spiritual life begins, with that. Spiritual life begins with that aham, aham asmi, awareness inside. That's where spiritual life begins. As soon as you come to that awareness seriously, then you know that this gross body, mind, intelligence and all are useless things to worry about. Not to be too concerned about it. And then you will not see in the Bhagavatam anywhere discussion about the body or the mind or intelligence. Those things are not discussed. All that is discussed is this awareness. Awareness is the one what is discussed here. Because that awareness, aham, aham, that is an awareness that is not pratiti. Pratiti means perception, direct perception. That is pratiti. The other one is called anubhavam, direct experience. Direct experience. So, for the aware, to know, have this awareness, you don't require the mind, you don't require the intelligence, you don't require the senses. None of them. You don't need any of that to experience that awareness inside. So, you have here, this is the most critical phase in the spiritual life. What is that? What you know through senses and what you experience in your consciousness, separating them out. What you know through your senses, mind, intelligence, what you know through your mind, senses and intelligence, and what you experience through your consciousness or awareness, separating them out all the time. And that process is you will see what is discussed in the 13th chapter in the Bhagavadam, in the 11th canto, Hamsa Gita. That's what it is. Breaking it up into one, into the what comes through the awareness, and what other one, what comes through the senses and the mind. If you practice this continuously, in Shastram says, it's like separating the milk and the water by the swan. When the swan separates the milk and the water, therefore they are called Paramahamsas. All jnanis, all great devotees, they all have to come to this stage finally. They have to learn this. There is no other way. If you don't break it up, keeping my body, my mind, my intelligence, everything together, and I will have a wonderful spiritual life, that's not going to happen. What we have to discard these things, knowing very well their importance in spiritual life. Spiritual life is important as far as consciousness is concerned. If you have not learned to break them up, Paramahamsas, that is why they are known for. Therefore, they don't get disturbed over the body, over the mind, over the intelligence, over the ego. Their concern is always, attention is on the consciousness. Attention is always on the consciousness. Because that's where everything is happening. Anubhavam or anubhuti is there. That is spiritual life. Not this body, mind, intelligence, what it's doing. That they have this separating between what is experienced or anubhavam or anubhavam or anubhuti, which comes through consciousness, and that what is experienced through mind, that's what is known through the mind, intelligence and the ego and all that. These two things, we have to break it up, completely break it up. And once that breaking happens, then you know that you are moving forward in the spiritual life. This is Jnanamarga. Krishna mentions this. We discussed this also in the 19th chapter of the 11th canto. So there you can see, 13th chapter is all about that. And in the 19th chapter, Krishna begins that with this discussion, isn't it? He says there, if you look into the first few verses, when we spoke about it, probably you may not have taken it very seriously. 19th chapter of the 11th canto. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Yo Vidya Shuddha Sampannam Alpavanna Numanika Maya Matramidam Jnatva Jnanam Cha Mai Sanyasen Jnaninatvehameveshta Swarthom Hedushcha Sammada Surgascha Apavargascha Nanyortho Madrade Priyaha Jnana Vijnana Samsiddham Padam Shrestha Vidur Mama Jnani Priyadamo Medo Me Jnani Nasto Vibhartimam Tastirtha Jabod Tapastirtha Jabodhanam Pavitra Nitaranicha Nalam Kurvandidam Siddhi Ya Jnana Kalaya Kritaham Tasmal Jnani Nasahidam Jnatva Swalpanam Uddhava Jnana Vijnana Sampanno Bhajamam Bhaktibhavidaham Jnana Vijnana Yajnena Mamishtalpanam Almani Sarvayajnabadim Mamvai Samsiddhim Nayogaman. All these verses, Krishna is saying there the importance of Jnana Vijnanam. He is saying there, isn't it? In the 19th chapter, if you go back and listen to those classes where we discuss these verses, there Krishna is referring to that Jnana Vijnana Sambandham. Krishna is saying, one who has come to that state, he has nothing more to do. Once he has learned that, breaking up this awareness, consciousness, and that anubhavam through that, and he knows very well, Krishna says, everything that comes from the world is through the mind and the intelligence. That's separate. That has nothing to do with me. That's coming from through the mind and intelligence. It's coming through. So that has to be put to the other side. So, but normally what happens is, because people do not study Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, they think everything is in the mind. Everything they connect with the mind, is it not? When we get angry, we say it's a mind. When we get proud, that also is the mind. And suddenly some experience comes in spiritual life, that's also we think it is in the mind. It's nothing to do with the mind. Mind is a separate thing altogether. So that is why Krishna is mentioning here that this separating between jnanis, what they do, they separate this awareness, and the pratiti. Pratiti is that perception. So awareness and perception, they have learned to separate. First thing that jnanis do is that. They separate them. Because they know the awareness is what is important. That is our swarupam, our identity. Is awareness, not the perception. Perception is not our identity. How do we know this? How do we come to know? This is where this Shraddha comes. That is where Shraddha comes. That means, so when your Shraddha has fallen on the awareness, and then you will get the amazing, an amazing experience that is. When your Shraddha falls on the awareness. At the moment, Shraddha is always falling on the perception. That's the problem. Main problem what we have now is that our Shraddha is always on what we perceive all the time. If you see something, immediately attention goes there. Or if you hear something, goes there. Taste something, goes there. Five senses of knowledge and senses of action. Everything drives to perception. Nothing drives down to awareness. Nothing drives down to awareness. So that is why Krishna is saying here, when your attention has fallen on the awareness, you will get completely surprised because you are getting surprised about yourself. That's what happens at that time. You get surprised about yourself. Up to that time you are thinking, I am separate, world is separate, and everything happens in the world, you are thinking about it and worrying about it and concerned about it. But when your own attention, instead in the world, if it falls on you, then you start getting completely in a different experience, that is. So, then only you start asking the question, what is inside this body then? What is inside this body? I am seeing with my eyes, smelling with the nose, and hearing with the ears, and touching with the skin. And not only that, I am seeing so many, experiencing so many things. And in the dream state, when I don't have a gross body, I see so many, experience so many things in my dream. I experience so many things in my dream. And when I go beyond that state, after the waking state and the dream state, when you go into the deep sleep state, I am feeling very happy also. Is it not? Is that not our experience every day? That when you are in the waking state, you are doing a lot of things here. In various things with the mind, intelligence, everything, and the senses. In the night when you go to sleep, as soon as you go into dream state, the problems of the gross body is not bothering you anymore. Is it not? Because you left the body behind. What is happening at that time in the dream state? In that dream world, you're wandering around in that dream state. Isn't it? In the dream world. You create so many things on your own. You yourself expand into many other living entities. There's nobody else, but in your dream, everybody is there. So you have expanded yourself into so many different forms, and so many things you are doing in the dream state without this gross body. Sometimes you see, you may have had a big feast and you have gone to sleep. And in the dream state, you have gone to your desert, and in that desert you are wandering around in feeling hungry, although you had a full belly. You have eaten a full belly prasadam, and then you have gone to the dream state. And in that dream, you are experiencing, you are starving there in the desert. And you are running around there. And then suddenly if you come back from the dream state to the awakened state, you are not feeling hungry anymore. So this is to show to us, the person in the awakened state, in the dream state, and similarly in the deep sleep, is the same person. But why the experience is different? Experience is different because what's happening then is that the three modes of nature takes control. In the awakened state, sattugunam. In the dream state, rajogunam. And in the deep sleep, tamogunam. It is very strong. They have their influence on us. So therefore, sattugunam, sattugunalpagam, Krishna says here, that the dream state is rajogunam. Is Rajogunam. Vishwan, Taijas and Prajnan, three names given to the soul in three different states. The jnanis think about it in a very, very, very deep level. They think such deeper levels, that is why they don't want any disturbances from this world. Because world is a disturbance for them. Especially when you are absorbed in the jnana margam. They don't want to be. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Vivikta Desha Sevetum Aradhar Jana Samsadi. There's a statement there in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says he wants to go alone and do it because he knows that everything is happening inside. I don't need anything from outside for this. Outside world, we are busy because we have still some feeling inside that the outside world is real. Outside world is not real. So what happens is, this question comes, what's happening inside at this stage? When the separation has happened, first the separation has to happen between the awareness and the perception. That separation has to happen. After the separation has happened, you are thinking about this, that who is having all these questions, where are they coming from, and who am I who is experiencing this inside? Only at that point you will know that you are different from the mind. Up to that point, you are thinking everything in terms of the mind. It came to my mind, I've forgotten that later, goes away, like that. No, it's not like that. This separation between awareness and perception. Perception is always through the mind, intelligence, senses and ego and all that. Experience is anubhavam or awareness is directly aspect of the consciousness. That's what's happening. Consciousness alone is the one that is directly coming from the soul. So when this question comes, that in vacant state I had all these questions, in the dream state all these things are happening, and in the deep sleep I had got a good sleep and I woke up in the morning. So so this question, if it comes inside, it's a good question. Who is experiencing all these things? It's a simple question, but generally if you say this to people, normally they will say, oh, what kind of question is this? They will say like this, they will ridicule it all the time. You can see, you will observe this particularly among these people who are very, try to prove that there is no, God doesn't exist, or there is no superior power, there is no superior controller, nothing like that. Like personalities like Dawkins and all that, they have that nature. Dawkins and others, they do that. They'll say, oh, I'm not come here to discuss who am I or why am I here and all. They'll start their discussion like this. And we have only this question to ask, who am I? That they don't want to deal with, because they don't know anything about it. They're just ignorant about it. So they will say that, they will ask this question. They'll say, oh, I'm not here to discuss who am I and where have I come from, why I'm here. All these questions, we don't discuss these things. They say like that. In the very beginning itself, they will make this statement. A lot of them, many of them do that, and it is sometimes surprising. That shows your level of ignorance, how ignorant you are. That's what it is. So anyway, so knowing about oneself is the first thing. Knowing about oneself is the first thing. Why that thought doesn't come to us easily? Knowing about oneself. We want to know about everything else in this world. We want to know about everything else in this world. Not only about this planet, we want to go and find out what goes on. We don't know about ourselves, what goes on inside. This is the situation. So, Krishna is saying here, the reason for that is that verse. If you look at that, Krishna says, Ashraddhadhana purushaha dharmasyasya parantava aprapya mam nivartande mrityu samsara vartmani. See that? That word Krishna has used there, ashraddha. There is no other reason for that. Your shraddha is not there. You don't have the shraddha. What can you do? Ashraddha. You may be thinking all these big people in the universities and all that, they have so much knowledge, we think, isn't it? People talk about a lot of big name and so many letters after that. But as far as Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is concerned, they are Ashraddhadhana Purushaha Dharmasyasya Parantava. What's their future? Aprapyamam Nivartande Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. For them, there is only one future left for them. What is that? Aprapyamam Nivartande. There is no possibility of realizing the self, what they have got, that opportunity. Therefore, Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Keep on rotating in this cycle of birth and death. Today you may be a professor in Oxford or Cambridge, tomorrow you could be somewhere else in a very awkward state. Because whole life you had been doing this kind of useless arguments with mind and intelligence and trying to prove to the world, that is false ego actually behind that. It is the false ego that's working behind it. The God delusion and all kinds of things, they write books and print them and sell them and making a big mockery out of all these things. They will not surrender. They cannot surrender because the ego is so strong. Krishna is saying to us, Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yogam is accessible once you take that ego out from inside. Otherwise, it's not possible. Otherwise, it's not possible. Ego must go from inside. And this faith in the power of the brain and the mind and all that things, you just have to surrender there. Surrender. You have no choice there because self-realization is like that. Till there is surrender, it's not going to happen. That's the first point Krishna is making there. Till there is surrender, it's not going to happen. So, having said that, Krishna is saying here, you have to know yourself that you want to do the best thing for you first. That is called hitam. We talked about this hitam before, isn't it? So, that is not happening. On the other hand, everyone wants to do the priyam for others, isn't it? Priyam, hitam and priyam, two things. Priyam is that somebody likes something, you want to do it for that person. That's priyam. But knowing well what is good for him and doing that is hitam. Hitam is the right thing to do, not priyam. Parents get into this problem all the time, isn't it? We think about the priyam for them. That will please them. But that Krishna doesn't agree with that. Krishna is saying that we should do always the hitam for that. What is good for them. That requires some forceful approach in that time, but it has to be done. Ultimately, that is what is good for them. Ultimately, what is beneficial for them. So, so just like we have sometimes, we have a diabetic patient or someone comes, you prepare a few liters of nice sweet rice, and very sweet, and you've given it to him, and he has taken it, and the poor man will suffer later. Knowing very well, you are telling him, oh no, no, I prepared with a lot of love for you, please take it. And you force him to take it. And he takes that, but you have done, what you have done is, you have done priyam, but what is hitam there? If the person makes a decision, I will not take it, that is hitam for himself. Doing hitam for himself, he has to do that. He has to be very firm on that, not to take it. For his own benefit, that is hitam. So it's an example. Similarly, we also have to come to that stage that on an absolute platform, paramarthikam, it's called paramarthikam. On a paramarthika level, on an absolute level, we need to know how to do good for us. Not on a bodily level, on an absolute level. Only then this knowledge will come to our shelter, our rescue. So, so Krishna says here, he uses the word simply, Mrityu samsara vartmani. That's the word. Ashraddhadhana purushaha dharmasyasya parantava aprapyamam nivartande Mrityu samsara vartmani. Isn't it? Mrityu samsara vartmani. The last line, if you look, you will see there. Mrityu samsara vartmani. So, the path which directly leads you to Mrityu, to death. Mrityu means death. So, that path which directly leads you to Mrityu, to death. That's what will happen for such a person who hasn't taken this message seriously, Bhagavad Gita. For him, the path is directly to the death process. Repeated cycle of birth and death. So, a person died and he was asked to go to the heaven. This is a story just to give some understanding that what happens. That he was supposed to go to the heaven. So, how do you ask somebody what's the way to heaven? You can't ask anyone, can you? Your conscience has to take you there. So, so when he started going, there were two roads, there was a junction. One road was full of, it was not maintained at all, full of potholes and not good for traveling. And another road was there, which was very well maintained, like a motorway. Well done, everything. So when he got to that junction, where he has, one was one direction, another another direction. When he got to that junction, he got confused, which way should I go? So naturally, what will you do? You'll take the best road, isn't it? The better road. So he took that better road and he started going along with that road. He'd gone a long distance, and then he met some others also who were traveling in all the same road, same road. So they were also confused like him, which where this road is going to. So there they saw someone standing there in charge of this road works and all that, who was maintaining the roads. They asked him where does this road goes? They said to him. He said, this is the road to the hell. So where is the road to the heaven? The road to the heaven was the other one. He said, so why do you maintain this road so well? He says, the traffic is very high on this road. On the other road, there is no traffic. So there was no need to maintain that road. He says, we maintain this road. All these big, big politicians, he said, they all come this way. This is their road. And the big businessmen, he said, who have exploited others and cheated and lied and did everything to make money in this world. You know, mundane, materialistic, that way of people. And not only that, he also met the spiritual people also on the same route. They also had Tilak and Shikha and everything. So he was wondering, because they were also absorbed in the same kind of business, what others have done. So that road was built because the traffic is there more. So the traffic was high. So it was kept very well. So this, in the, they also say, there's a word called hedonism. You may have heard that. That you're going through a path, but you don't know where it's going. It's like a hedonistic thing. So that's exactly what Krishna is saying here. They don't know where they are going. Murtyu samsara vatmani. That's the word Krishna has used there. Ashraddha dana purusha dharmasyasya parandhava aprapyamam nivartande murtyu samsara vatmani. There is no escape from that. There is no escape from that. We are very concerned, isn't it? Because why in the last chapter, if you remember, in the 8th chapter, Krishna spoke about departure from this world, isn't it? Death. And after reading that chapter, we start thinking, if at the time of death what happens, we start thinking about it, worrying about it a lot. And we start thinking, is there any way we can know that where we are going after death? We have that question. Krishna's point is, even though all those things he has spoken in the 8th chapter, in the 9th chapter Krishna is saying, don't be too worried about the where you will go after the death, which way you are going. That's not what you should be worrying about. What you should be worrying about is, do you have to come back again? That is the first concept. Not to come back, that is the goal. That is Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Yogam. 8th chapter was about what happens at the time of death, how death happens. And Krishna spoke about it, at the time of death what will happen. That's what we have seen through 8th chapter. In this 9th chapter, Krishna is not discussing that. What Krishna is discussing there is how to avoid coming back. That's more important, isn't it? How to avoid coming back. We don't want to come back. Nobody wants to come back here because we know what happens here when you come back. What is in storage here, isn't it? That we know about it. So that's why Krishna is saying here, Mrityu samsara vartmani, Krishna is saying here. Then, aprapyamam nivartande murti samsara vartmani. Why? Why did that happen? Why did that happen? Krishna says, why did that happen? Aprapyamam nivartande. That's why. Aprapyamam nivartande. Something we left it in our life. What is that we left? Krishna. We left Krishna behind and therefore there is no choice. When we say Krishna, in Jnani's language, realization of the self. In devotee's language, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It doesn't matter. The same terminology may be different, but basically what it means is all inquiry about the self. Krishna is a self in everyone, is it not? So inquiring after Krishna means inquiring about the self, Antaryami, inside everybody. So if self-realization doesn't happen, aprapyamam nivartande. You have lost something here. You missed something here. Therefore, mrityu samsara vartmani. The only choice is you have to come back repeatedly. Change the body again and again and again and keep coming back and start the whole thing from beginning again. Start the whole thing from beginning again. So, what is the reason for that? Ashraddha danaha. Ashraddha. There was no Shraddha in the person. Ashraddha Dhanaha. And why Ashraddha Dhanaha? Because he does not have what we discussed in the second chapter, Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi. That wasn't there. That is our main problem. That seriousness is not there in spiritual life. Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi. If you remember that verse in the second chapter, Krishna told Arjuna, what is important is not the process. What's important is the determination there inside. If you have no determination, Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi Ekeha Gurunandana. Then, Bahushagha Hanandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. There, in the second. That's why in the beginning, Krishna reminds us that, look, if you come to a spiritual life and if you don't develop this one quality, which one? Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi. Remember? We spoke about that in the second chapter. Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. He has to be so fixed in that. Seriousness in spiritual life. If it is not there, Bahushaka Hanandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. What will happen to him? Bahushaka, many branched. It will go in many, many different directions. Somebody will tell you have to become some big person in this world. Your mind and intelligence goes after that. Somebody else tells you have to make a lot of money in this world. You'll go after that. Somebody else will tell you have to have a good social life. You'll go after that. And somebody else will tell you something else. You'll go after that. Krishna says that will not work in spiritual life. Bahushaga anandascha buddhi yo avyavasayinam. Who is not vyavasayalmiya buddhi? Who doesn't have that? Vyavasayalmiya buddhi. Vyavasayalmiya buddhi means that fixed one point goal in life to realize the truth. If it is not there, then bahushaga anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. So if there is no vyavasayalmiya buddhi, Krishna is mentioned here, such a person is ashraddhadhanaha. That verse here, Krishna says, Ashraddha Dhana Purusha. Ashraddha Dhana Purusha means that, who has no Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi. That's what it means. In other words, that they have not decided in life that the only thing you want in life is Krishna, nothing else. That decision. That is Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi. Nothing else I need in this life except Krishna. In other words, self-realization. So, till that decision comes in us, we are all still not decided, are we? We want this and we want others also, other things also. That is not what it is. We want this, with little bit of this and lot of that. And we are trying to fit in everything into it, but in spiritual life you can't fit in things like that. Ashraddha dana purusha dharmasyasya parantava aprapyamam nivartande. So, this ninth chapter is basically for that person who has, Krishna referred to in the second chapter, who has got that Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi. It is for him this ninth chapter is spoken. Very much centered around that. That is why, remember I was mentioning Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, isn't it? King of knowledge and the Brahmavidya, Sarvavidya, Pratishtam. All other Vidya is based on this Vidya, Brahmavidya. Without Brahmavidya and other Vidyas have no meaning. They don't have even existence. So, those who have not, he has not decided that I need only Krishna in life. And I need, once for all, I want to escape from this misery of all distress in this world. I want to escape from this once for all. And that decision has not happened. And going back to Krishna, that decision also hasn't happened inside. So, because of that, Krishna's point is that if that Shraddha has grown big inside and if that goal has become firm inside, just by hearing about me, it will happen. Shravana Matram. Shravana Matrena, Krishna says. Just by hearing, it has to happen. Remember yesterday we said this, that what we are doing now is that we keep on hearing so that the Shraddha builds up inside. When the Shraddha has reached a very high degree inside, by hearing from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and all that, at an appropriate time, when the Shraddha has reached its peak, Krishna will put that person in front of you to tell you what you are and it will hit you straight away. It won't require anything after that. And that is that person who comes at that time and wake you up from inside. The truth what you are looking for is right within you. It's not outside that you have to find it. And immediately it clicks in. And that is what Krishna is saying there in that chapter where Krishna mentions about Jnaninas Tattvadarshina. The Tattvadarshi only can do that. Only a realized soul can take you there. Nobody else. Till you meet. But before you meet that realized soul, the Shraddha has to wake up inside to a very, very high degree. Very, very high degree it has to happen. So, otherwise Krishna says that if this doesn't, this Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi is not there, Shraddha is not there, in that situation, if he does not have that goal properly, whatever sadhana you do here, or whatever anushtanam, or anushtanam means all other upasana, like for example, chanting, deity worship, and reading Bhagavatam, or various other spiritual activities, whatever you are doing here, all that of them won't help. Murti samsara vartmani, because this goal is not there. What can you do? Goal is more important than the process or anything else what you do. So that to be fixed in that goal all the time, this is what I need in life. So in other words, what will happen is, murti samsara vartmani, he will keep on rotating in the same wheel again and again. He will get another birth, a good birth, he will come back, and again he will do the same thing. He will do the same deity worship, he will do the same chanting, he will do the same spiritual activities. Again, because the goal is not sure where what he wants. And then he will get another good birth. Again, he will come back and do the same thing. He will not come out of the wheel. He will still remain in the wheel. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, so that is why without reaching Krishna, life after lifetime, he is wandering around. And in this life also, he is wandering around. But what will he do when he comes back? Again, goes back to the nursery class. Goes back to the nursery class, and you will start from there. And so, once you think about going back to school, that's enough. You won't want to take birth again. That one thought is enough. Going to school, forget about every other misery in this life. Just going back to school, that very thought is enough to not to come back here again. Because especially today, if you see the children, I just really feel so much compassion for them, that that heavy baggage on the shoulder to carry all those books, and the pressure from the parents and the society and all that. So anyway, so and then you have to study all the rubbish also. Are there, when you go there, I will teach you all the nonsense what you don't need to know. And you start thinking, because you are told that everybody must work in this world, isn't it? You have to work very hard. If somebody is not doing any work, government will come and ask you, why you are not working? Why you are not doing anything? So they are all very clear in their head what that everybody should be working 24 hours. Then this perfect situation in the world. Is it not? So this is a sad thing. Andhayathandairuvaniyamanam, Bhagavatam says, blind leading the blind. Andhayathandairuvaniyamanam. One blind man is leading another blind man. That is our situation now. So, and you have to keep rotating in this ajnanam, avidya, and rotate here. What is the way to escape from this? Krishna is saying, Shraddha. Shraddha is the answer for that. So therefore, Vedam, it glorifies Shraddha in a big way. In Upanishads, you will see this word, Shraddha is glorified very big way. So, Shraddhaya imo Shraddha bhakti dhyana yogad bhaveti. One statement in the Upanishads. From Shraddha comes bhakti. Bhakti comes from Shraddha. And from bhakti, what will happen? When bhakti develops in the heart, meditation will come, dhyanam. Dhyanam will happen in a person. Yo yo ya Shraddha, Shraddhasya eva saha. So, when one person first develops the Shraddha, and from Shraddha, Bhakti develops, and when one Bhakti develops, Dhyanam comes. Very great Jnanis and their associates, if you observe, they were close to them, the personalities were close to them, you will see this has happened in all of them. Due to that association with that great soul, those who were around him, in course of time, their Shraddha was built up. Shraddha has built up. And due to Shraddha, what has happened? Bhakti has happened in them. And due to that bhakti, individually, they all had a lot of dhyanam inside. Particularly, you will see among many, many big people, many big personalities, Ramatirtha, Ramana Maharshi, and so many others like that. Those who were around them first, who were close to them, and when they were close to them, initially, their Shraddha woke up. They became serious. And then this Vyavasayatmika Buddhi has built up inside. Many of them threw away their jobs, family and everything. They said goodbye to all that. At a different level, different people had different situations. And many of them had a good fortune to study Shastram before in their life. Because while studying Shastram, Kavyakanda Ganapati Muni and Seshadri Swamiji and were all like that. There were people like that who had studied Shastram well, but realization wasn't there. Shastram they have studied well. So when they got in association with Ramana Maharshi, what happened to them was that their Shraddha, because of the real understanding of the Shastram well, when they saw a person with in reality in life, immediately their Shraddha woke up very well inside. The Shraddha gone up very well. And due to that Shraddha inside, later on that is developed into bhakti within themselves, and that bhakti has turned into dhyanam later. And later on, you can, if you read through their life, you will notice that changes that has happened in their own life. And many of them, after the Maharshi's departure, they didn't stay anymore there. They all went in their own way. Because they got what they wanted. They don't need to stay there anymore. They got what they wanted, and therefore they all individually were going up in their own way spiritually. So this will happen in spiritual life. That's what Krishna is saying here. That so Shraddha, Shraddha is important. So what is the reason behind Shraddha? How does Shraddha develop? Shraddha is nothing but a decision we have to make ourselves. Why do we read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? To get this Shraddha. To get this Shraddha, to make that decision within. That when we have decided for ourselves that this is what is important for me in life, nothing else. Everything else is coming and going, coming and going. I'm not going to follow after this anymore. Life is going to come to an end. At least those who are getting closer to the end, they should think that it's going to come to an end very sooner or later. I had so many years, 40, 50 years I spent in this way, chasing the world and chasing so many other things. But it's time now I have to think seriously that what is left behind is for building up this Shraddha inside. If that has happened and what you have decided, if once that decision is made inside, then Shraddha will go in that direction naturally. Naturally. Sometimes you can see, it's different here, but in India when you go for shopping vegetables, you may have thought about a particular vegetable you want to buy. Say some banana or something like that, cauliflowers or something. And you're walking through the vegetable market all around, you're walking around. And your thoughts are always centered about the cauliflower or whatever vegetable you had in your mind to buy. But in the shops, there was nowhere anywhere the thing what you are looking for. And there were some good aubergines or some other nice vegetables. Even though they were there, your attention won't fall on that. Your attention is still because it's based on what you have already decided inside, what you want to buy that day. That particular vegetable you want to buy. You are looking for that, you couldn't find that. And then you'll come back. And second time you went there, again somebody else gone from home to look for. He says, oh, there were some nice aubergines there. I bought them, he says. Oh, he says, oh, I didn't see them because I was looking for cauliflowers. I couldn't see the aubergines there. So similarly, so when your attention is all on the vegetable you are looking for, cauliflowers, even though the other things were there, it didn't fall on that vegetable. Your attention was only on the one what you wanted to buy. Similarly, first decision that has to be made is that which one that influences your entire search. What is going to influence that? First you have to decide what you want in life. What do we do? What do we do here? while hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, first decision is, I want a relief from this distress in this world. Is it not? Krishna is saying to us that first you have to know that you are experiencing distress in this world. Even that we don't know that we are experiencing distress. We got so used to this distress. We don't even know that we have distress. Sometimes we'll say, oh, there is a little bit of problems, we'll say. A little bit, not too much. So that is not proper understanding of life, to think that there's only little problems here. There's a lot of problems here. We don't know that. We are thinking that like this. So Krishna is saying there, first thing you have to know that life is full of distress and misery. Isn't it? And this is inward looking nature of a person who is reflecting, who has that introspection, he will know that there is distress in this life, and that realization will come. So when you know that there is distress in life, then the next thing is to ask this question, how to relieve the distress from life. That's what the next question is, isn't it? So that's why this example is given in the Upanishads. Two personalities went to Lord Brahma, Virochana and Indra. They went to Brahma. Virochana and Indra, they went to Brahma. Prajapati, they went to Prajapati. Both of them went, they talked to each other, who? Indra and Virochana. Virochana was Mahabali's father. What was the discussion? They were talking about each other. They both said that we want to get spiritual instructions. Both of them said. Indra said, and Virochana also said, from Brahma. So they went to Brahma. Indra and Virochana went to Brahma. When they went to Brahma, Brahma was very thoughtful about this whole thing. Should I give these two people any instructions? That's what first he thought. But then he had to send them back. Somehow he had to give some reply to them. So he told them that you have to stay with me for a while, for some period, 12, 15 years, you stay with me. They said, Brahma said, just to test their resolve, how serious they are about it. It's not something you come ask casually and give it to him on a piece of paper or something. So Brahma said that you stay with me for a period of time, 12, 20, 15 years, and then I'll give that to you. I'll give you, instruct you. What they call as Brahmavadesham, isn't it? Like Parikshit was given Brahmavadesham by Shuka Brahmarshi, Brahmavadesham. So after this 15 years time, both Indra and Mahabali, Virochana stayed with Brahma. And then one day they asked Brahma, we have finished now, 15 years we have been here, you have not given us any instructions, said. So Brahma says, there was a pot of water, full of water there, in the pot. Brahma says, go home and get dressed nicely, wear very good clothes and decorate yourself, smarten up yourself very well, and then keep a pot of water and look into it, into that pot. And what you see there, that's you. That's Atma, he said to him. To both Indra and to Virochana. So they went back to their respective places. They got dressed well and made themselves look very good. And they had a pot of water and they looked into the pot of water. And Virochana, when he saw himself in the water, he was very impressed. He said, oh, I'm very good looking, he said. I'm very good looking. And Virochana says at that point, oh, I got now knowledge of me. I know who I am now. That means I'm this body, in other words. He realized it like that. Indra was a little bit intelligent. He went back and did all these things. And then he started thinking, is this me? Is this body? Is this me? He said, what little thought came to his mind. Virochana felt very happy. Virochana felt very happy. He says, my soul looks very beautiful. He says, my soul looks very beautiful. Because the soul is the body anyway. Soul is this body. And from then on, he said, I have to keep this body, which is the soul, in a very nice way. I should keep this body in a nourished, massaged, and in a good state, in a good condition. I have to maintain it. So, Brahma told them, Virochana misunderstood everything. Virochana misunderstood everything. The reason why Brahma said like that to Virochana was that in the ancient times, the idea was they will try to make you completely misunderstand everything. This is how the sages always instructed the students. They will misguide you as much as possible and leave you. Because if you do that, what will happen is that you will start thinking. Otherwise, you won't think, would you? If everything is spoken openly to somebody and that person is not serious enough to take it, it is a waste of time. So the sages' approach is, they won't tell you the truth and they will tell you some things to completely misguide you. So that you will go back and start thinking about it. Some reflection, introspection will happen. And from that introspection, something good will come out. What's that? You'll start really questioning things seriously. Is this me? Is this information? What I'm thinking about, this is correct. So it will continuously develop, that thought process will begin seriously inside. That was the idea behind it. And this has always been the practice for a long, long time. It has always been like that. So long as they are traveling in that wrong process, on the wrong path, let him get confused. That's their policy. Let him get confused. And he has to come out of that confusion himself. He has to come out of that confusion himself. He has to come out of it himself from that confusion. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read, a lot of people have got a lot of confusion about it. Isn't it? I mean, it is not right to say that, oh, everything is very crystal clear to me from Bhagavatam, what I am reading. It is not. It's not. Deliberately, Shuka Brahmarshi has Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled in that way, that you should remain, otherwise you will never think about it, would you? If everything was just like a book with all clear, crystal clear, and added to that, we have got all these commentaries also to confuse more. More confusion comes on the commentaries also. It's there. Sometimes what happens is, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have about 16 major commentaries, major ones. There are hundreds of others on. They are not major in the sense that they are also realizations of the devotees. But these commentaries are also opposing each other. That is also there. You will see sometimes the devotees writing about that. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has said this. Sridhara Swami has said something else. Jiva Goswami has said something different. So which one is correct? They will ask the question. So idea behind that is, they want you to get confused first. If you not get confused, you won't come out of it. All this confusion has to go from inside. If he give you the answer that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has said something, Jiva Goswami has said something else, Sridharajari Swamiji has said something else, you will ask naturally the question, isn't it? It will churn something inside. This is why, that is what commentaries help. The help is like that. That is what you get from the commentary. Commentary is only for that purpose. That they are writing their realizations, how they have seen it, what they have got from the Bhagavatam, that's what it is. That's what it is. But now people have this confusion, but they won't say this outwardly. They'll keep to themselves. They'll read it, they'll get confused and they'll keep quiet. They'll say, we can't go any more further from there. So this is the process in the search for the self. This will happen. This thing will always happen. Like Shuka Brahmarshi deliberately confused us in the Bhagavatam, saying to us that Ugrasena had 4 billion servants. 4 billion, not million, 4 billion. 4 billion servants. And there are how many? 4 crores. That means, how many is that? 400 million, isn't it? Or 40 million? 40 million. 40 million teachers were there to teach Krishna's children in Dwaraka. 40 million teachers were teaching Krishna's children. The family was so big, he says 40 million teachers. He has given an exact figure also, not exactly 40 million. 39,088,635 or something like that. Some figure he has given the Bhagavatam. So if when you read that, you ask this question, Shuka Brahmarshi, and this has perplexed actually the Western philosophers. They get confused about it. On the one hand, they are talking about the absolute truth so clearly. In the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that's what you find. such a high realization of the highest realization of the truth, of the self inside. No other philosophy presents the soul as well as in the Vedic tradition. Is it not? Krishna speaks about that. And you're talking in such high level with such clarity about the truth. And when it comes to these issues, there seems to be something. Do they not know how to count? Or is there some problem with that? That in such a way, why are they doing this? This is deliberate. It's deliberately done like this. And there's also another thing. Chitrakedu had 10 million wives. Can you imagine someone with 10 million wives? And then he had no children, it says. So people ask this, all these questions. And where is the answer for that? There are so many things in the Bhagavatam like this. You will read them. And people start thinking that why this Bhagavatam? Is this correct, all these things? That why Shukadeva Goswami has spoken like this? And things like that. Even when coming to Rasa dance, Krishna had how many gopis, you know? 110 million were dancing with Krishna. And we have gone and looked at Vrindavan, it's hardly about few kilometers. The 110 million you are talking about is population of 4 or 5 different states in India. It's 110 million. So where in one small area, what we refer to, Vrindavanam, is 110 million gopis were dancing. It is clearly mentioned 110 million in the Bhagavatam. Well, if you look into the 20, so there you can see there. So if you look into Bhagavatam, when it comes to numbers and when it comes to situations like this, you'll always see this confusion coming. People will ask these questions. So that is where the inquiry will get serious then. You will become start asking these questions, and therefore you will mention like that. So now what has happened? I'll tell you why it is important. When Brahma said this to Virochana, Virochana goes back and he realized it. He said, I've realized the truth now because I've seen me, who I am. Deeper than that, his inquiry didn't go. His inquiry didn't go deeper than that. It finished there. This, from Virochana, one sampradayam came, one disciplic succession. And that disciplic succession is the biggest disciplic succession in this world. What are they? All those people who are decorating the body after death and standing next to the body and glorifying about the body. So who has the biggest disciplic succession? It's not Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka. It's Virochana's disciplic succession has the largest number of followers in this world. Virochana Sampradayam, it's called. What do they do? After death, they will decorate the body nicely and they will glorify the body, what all glorious deeds they have done. Person has gone. The body is lying there and sitting next to the body, you are talking about this body, body, body. That is the end of that. That is the Virochana Sampradayam, it's called. In some communities, you will see what happens is after death, they will dress the body very nicely. And the body cannot stand up, isn't it? So they put on a chair with a nice back so that it can sit. Eyes are all closed, eyes can't even open. And they put garlands around him, decorate him with a crown and take him in a chariot-like thing to the... We are doing it in big BMWs or Mercedes. They are doing it in the chariot. That's only the difference. In consciousness, both are same. There's not much big difference. Here we are paying all respect and honor to the body after death. And then taking in a Mercedes or something to the crematorium, and then we offer all our respects and everything, and then we come back as gentlemen. Everything has been done very well. We're so such nice gentlemen we are, aren't we? So this is the world. So they are all this Virochana Sampradaya. Virochana's people they are. It's their Sampradaya. Whereas so you can see here that the difficulty that he mentions there. That Virochana felt this and he spread this all over. So when you go through this from this understanding, Indra had doubt. Indra did not accept it straight away. Indra thought there is something more than that. So Indra goes back to Brahma again, asks the questions once for all. So 95% of the people in this world their guru is Virochana. It's from Virochana Sampradayam that this thing has come about. Something, there are very interesting things in the Bhagavatam, if you read it carefully. When Krishna left this world, Padmamaitre Nyamilayad, that Krishna closed that lotus eyes, isn't it? At the end in the Bhagavatam, you will see Krishna's departure, that chapter is a very interesting chapter. Interesting because you will get a reflection of the Vedic culture there in that chapter, Krishna's departure. And while Krishna left, Balaram first left. First Balaram left. And then Krishna left. Krishna gave instructions to Uddhava and Krishna is going back. So, in the yoga process, you burn the body, isn't it? Like Sri Parvati did in front of Daksha. Krishna didn't do that. With this spiritual body, Krishna is going back. And Shuka Brahmarshi says it was like a lightning passing through the sky all the way back to the spiritual world. Brahma, Indra, Shiva, Sri Parvati, Kartikeya, Ganesh, everybody was present there while Krishna was on his way back. All of them were present there. They have all invited Krishna to come to their planet on the way back. Krishna has promised to Brahma that he will come. So they were all expecting Krishna to come to their planets, but they couldn't see anything further. Demigods could see where Krishna was going. And it was like a lightning going through the sky, it says there. In the Bhagavatam, if you read that chapter, you will see there. Krishna is like a lightning, it was going through the sky. Even Jara, who shot the arrow at Krishna's lotus feet, Jara was also told, you also go back to the spiritual world. See Krishna's mercy at that time. Even Jara, who shot an arrow to Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna says, you have done this out of my desire. You have done that. You also go back. I wanted that, he said. And he goes back as well. Jara was a hunter. And he had no spiritual... Just that mercy came. Last person. Krishna says, let him go. You got that clearance also. So they all went back. And then what happened in Dwaraka? If you read, you will see there. They all Krishna's major wives, Vasudeva, Devaki and all of them, they also left the body. Thinking about Krishna, they entered into the fire and left the body. Many of them left the body in the fire. And only those who could not do it, Arjuna took them to Hastinapur with him. Hastinapur with him. But all the women who were with them, who were there, they all thought about Krishna, entered into the fire and gave up their body. Just see that realization inside. We may think from the modern, we are so gross in our identification with the body. We start thinking, oh, how could they do that? What a barbarian culture that is. Women are jumping into the fire and giving up their body with the husband. So many different understanding what comes to our head. But look at their realizations that they, even the wives of Krishna and the women in Dwaraka, many of them who gave up the body, they were so spiritual in their realizations that their part in this world is over, they are ready to go. That is spiritual life. That this is sticking to this body here and thinking, trying to patch up this and that all the time and trying to survive here one way or the other. This is not a very good realizations. It is complete ajnanam, avidya inside is that. Whereas due to Krishna's presence there, they were so energized by that spiritual realization in them that when Krishna left, they didn't feel worth anymore living in this world. They also left. And the way they left was, they jumped into the fire and gave up their body and they went. Because they knew very well, the body is not the end of everything. Due to our strong attachment to this body, we find all these things very difficult for us today, for the modern world to accept it, is it not? But in them days, because they had that deep realization inside, they didn't have any difficulty. You will see in Pritha Maharaj's case, when Pritha Maharaj left the body, Archis put the body into the fire, she stood there, thought about the husband, entered into the fire and gave up the body. Entered into the fire and gave up the body. Here, in this modern world today, we can't even live together for a few years together. Before that, we create difficulties with each other. Isn't it? This is how we are today. That is how self-conscious we are about ourselves. So this is that continuous degradation what has happened in the in that strong attachment to the body. So, Virochana is like this, that look after the body very well, and finally, he says there, finally we'll go back to the crematorium, well decorated, and every Virochana's process is like that. Veda says about this. Vedam says that due to the ignorance of their guru, who is Virochana, it is from avidya, ajnanam, that all these sampradayams have come in this world. The other sampradayam, what you see here in the modern world, there are so many sampradayams, isn't it? Taking the dead body to the... These sampradayams have come from Virochana. Virochana is the original guru of them. So, it is their situation is like this. Now, look at the jnanis. What is their situation? When the body has life in it, they have no attachment for the body. On the other side of it, these people who are Virochana's people, even after the life has left the body, they are willing to decorate it and take it to the crematorium and burn it. Because there is no other choice. Because if they can keep the body, they will keep it. But it will start smelling after a few days. So they don't know what, they can't do anything about it. So what do? They burn. There is no choice. Or bury it or something like that. They have to get rid of the body. There is no other way, isn't it? So, as far as they are concerned, because they are so convinced that they are the body, that they have no other choice except to do this. On the other hand, jnanis, while living within the body, they have come to know they are not the body. Dehastho vena dehastha. It has happened to them already. So, so when they are like that, will they, these jnanis, even while living, they have no attachment to the body? When it is like that, will they show any attachment to your dead body? You have to ask that question. While living within the body itself, they have no attachment to the body. When it is like that, what chance is there that they will show any attachment to your dead body? So therefore, it's so many times incidents this has happened. This is why I am saying this. That people will go to realized souls. Many great realized personalities who are there, like Ramatirtha, Vivekananda, and so many, many, many people like that who come, Pahari Baba, and many others like that, who are all realized in their life, in this world itself. They have Jivan Mukta state they were always. And people go to them with their bodily problems and bodily issues, trying to discuss this thing. So, then they will ask them, what should we do after death? Should we bury them or should we burn them? This kind of questions they will ask. So, when you go to a self-realized soul, one should never open the mouth and ask any question relating to the body, mind, intelligence or ego. That's forbidden. When you go to a self-realized person, if it ever happens that, to ask any question in relationship with mind, body, intelligence, ego, and other issues related to the family and bodily existence is not acceptable. Why? They themselves don't have any interest in their own body. Why should he take an interest in your body and your bodily extensions or bodily problems? All that is meaningless for them. For them, that doesn't exist. They have gone beyond than that. So, the only question to talk to the realized person is only about the soul. Only about the soul. if you go to them, so once it so happened, one realized personality, when he was living, others will come, various people will come to the ashram, and some of people came like that and they asked this question. They had a lot of reverence for him, a lot of respect for him. So, they thought that it will be a good thing to ask him what they should do with his body when he leaves this world. When he leaves this world. You know, these devotees and disciples, they are always a problem. They have only one business, how to keep the body happily. Even with the guru also, what food we should give him so that he will get upset with his stomach. You won't let him eat simple food. He'll create all the complicated food in this world. The man doesn't know how to cook and he'll go and cook something. I cooked for you, eat it, he'll say. So, and complicate the life for him and make him sick. So this is happening always. So they all went to him. They thought that it's worthwhile asking this question. What we should do with your body when you leave this world? Because it happens, isn't it? When there's a big Mahalpa, centered around him, there will be some people. So they wanted an answer, so that they thought that we don't have to quarrel each other after he leaves. Because otherwise that's what will happen. Everybody will have their own idea what they should do about it. So to avoid any confusion, they asked him, what should we do with your body? How should we put that into samadhi? Or should we burn the body? Or should we bury the body? What should we do? So sannyasis are generally, they dig a pit and they put a lot of salt. And then they put the body in and then cover it with the salt. And that is, this is, there's a, other things also deposited there because it's a samadhi of a great soul. So things are done like that. But here, what happened was, they asked this question to him. He answered them like this. He said, when I die, you nicely grind my body. He said, and grind it so fine, he said. And you see that banana plantation there? You take it there and dig all around every banana tree. Banana plant, and put this a little bit into everything. Let some good bananas come out from that, he said. That was his answer. So they started looking at each other. What kind of instruction is this? He says, they have thought that he's going to tell us that how he should be put into samadhi, and then after that, how big the samadhi building should be, and how many times the aradhi should be done, and all these questions he's going to answer. That's what they were thinking about. But his answer was like this. So they all started asking. So he told them, don't ask this stupid question anymore, he said. Because he wants to drive this idea into them, dehastho bhinna dehastha. While living within the body itself, we should lose this attachment to the body. Samadhi and other things are came up much later. These are all not old things. Ancient times in the rishis, do you see any samadhi for Vedavyas? Do you see any samadhi for Shukha Brahmarshi? Do you see any samadhi for any of the sages? Much, much later, in Dwapara Yugam, end of Dwapara Yugam and all that, people started doing this little by little, and samadhi has come into practice. Because it is contradict with the philosophy. Krishna consciousness means once you have left the body, it is finished. Then there is nothing to do with that body. It is over. And now we have this in the modern age, little by, it is spread so fast, everybody wants a samadhi now. It has gone the other way also. Many gurus and others, they want to organize their samadhi first before. They want to make sure that there is enough funds to build the samadhi and there is a place for them in the holy dham for them, so that my disciples can come and pray for themselves in front of me and others will know that I was here in this world. That's very interesting. Very, very interesting. That thought way behind this is very funny. Anyway. So, Virojana Sampradayam is always there. You can't do anything about it. So, Krishna is saying here, so Indra was not satisfied because, so they were thinking that if we do with that body, will the body won't feel the pain? When he said like that, you grind it and put it into the menu, fertilizer, he said. So, Virojana was satisfied as soon as he heard that he is this body. That's what he wanted actually. He wanted that answer, that I am the body. So, he got it. So, because, so he thought that let it be like that. Why it is like that? Because when Prajapati, Brahma told this, he knew very well he is only qualified for that. Who? Virojana. Virojana is only qualified for that. He can't think beyond than that. When somebody is very attached to the body and very much in the consciousness of the body, they have a big fight with spiritual life. It's a constant fight with the spiritual life. Because it's always, I am under conviction that I am this body, so strongly registered inside, that it is very difficult. He's only qualified for that. Therefore, he didn't go back to Brahma again. Virojana didn't go back to Brahma after that. But Indra was not satisfied. Indra was not satisfied. See, he thought about this again. Indra's basic thinking at that time was that 99% people haven't got to this stage even. To this stage, even. Indra was not, Indra's first question was, if I am this body, if I am this body, I can decorate it nicely and I can eat well and maintain this body, and all facilities are there in Indra's planet, in the heavenly planets, isn't it? Everything is there, much higher than what we have got here to maintain the body. The facilities in Indra's planet is far superior to what we have got here, or maintenance of body is concerned. But he also thought that even though it is like that, still it's not permanent. Even though it can be kept in a good state for a long period of time, it's still not permanent. Indra thought like that. Virojana didn't think like that. So Indra's question started from there. Indra says to him that, said, not only that, he said, that not only doesn't stay permanent, in this body I also getting all different emotions like anger, lust, greed, and kamam, krotham, asuya, and all other envy and things like that. So long as those things happen in the body and in the mind, I don't feel any peace inside, he said. There is no shanti inside, or perfection, or wholeness is not there, and there is no fulfillment. Indra was able to think a little one step further than Virojana. He thought a little bit further than that. And after many days, he came back to Prajapati, to Brahma, and asked the same question again. He said this question, if you say to me that the body is my soul, body is me, then I should be happy in this body, is it not? Indra asked the question, a good question. If body is me, then I should be happy in this body, but sometimes I'm not happy. I'm feeling very disturbed. You know, Indra gets disturbed very often. The whole Bhagavatam, there is plenty of stories, isn't it? If somebody starts here, some severe austerities and penances, Indra gets disturbed there in the heavenly planet. It's a regular occurrence here. Vishwamitra started, Indra gets upset there. Narayana Maharshi started, Indra gets upset there. And he has his own transcendental arrangement, Apsaras women and all the breeze that comes along with that, and their dancing music, all of them, they'll be sent here to disturb their austerities here. That's what happened to Vishwamitra, isn't it? Indra sent Menaka, and Menaka started dancing, singing. Vishwamitra's spiritual life all finished with that. Then what happened? What happened then? Shakuntala was born. Menaka went back. Menaka was sent with a mission. Menaka went back. Shakuntala was born. Then, Vishwamitra came to realize it later. Similarly, they tried the same thing with Narayana Maharshi, but Narayana Maharshi taught them a good lesson and sent them back. Is it not? You can see that in the Bhagavatam. In the beginning, it mentions like that. So, when he asked this question, Indra asked this question to Brahma, I don't feel that this is perfection of my life. There is no fulfillment. I have problems also. Even if I keep this body in a good shape, I know very well one day it is going to go. And he also expressed to him that there is no fulfillment. And therefore, I have also noticed, he said, even those who are in a very higher position, sometimes they also don't seem to be very happy in this world while they are inside this body. So you can see that sometimes people who have got big recognition and all that in this world, they go and commit suicide. Is it not? You have seen that with celebrities and all that. They were after money and fame, two things. And they had both of them a lot in their life. They wanted big recognition, great stars, they are known all over the world. And they had acquired enough wealth, and then suddenly they go and give up, their commit suicide after that. Why? Why does that happen? This happens to many, many people, very, very rich people, extremely rich, so wealthy they are, and eventually one day make the decision life is not worth living anymore. They try very hard to survive here in the body, but body won't survive, body will give trouble, and sometimes take so many instances. If you are reading newspapers, you will see this. There are many, many examples like that. And their death is very, sometimes they want to die. They want to die. They have everything in this world. They want to die. A stage comes and they are inquiring, we can't do it here. We go to Switzerland and get it done there. euthanasia and all that. There's a strong argument for that, for euthanasia, isn't it? For because they can't take the misery anymore with this body. What use is there so much money? What can they do? So Indra's question was based on this. Indra was asking that, I'm seeing all these things happening. People want to give up their body at some point in time. Especially those who had everything in life. As name, fame, wealth and whatever you are talking about. Still, so that means that if this is what it's the end is going to be, then I don't think that I am that body. He was started asking this question to Prajapati, to Brahma. So this discussion between Prajapati, Virochana and Brahma is important. So sometimes people give up their body because sometimes due to frustration in life. Frustration in life. They didn't get the recognition what they want in this world. Among the scientists sometimes it happens. Many, many scientists have given up their body due to this. They didn't get their Nobel Prize what they wanted. They worked very hard. You don't know the politics behind all this Nobel Prize what goes on in the big, big academies and institutes. Sometimes they work under a dream of a big professor or something. Somebody has found out something, a new research, and he has found something out. But the professor will make sure that he doesn't get the credit. It will come out through the professor's name as a Nobel Prize to him. And that person was worked under him and very intensely worked to get that recognition. Eventually he goes and commits suicide. It has happened many times. We won't even know about it. Because it is kept so confidential that these things do happen in this world. They want recognition badly. They worked very hard and eventually recognition somebody else gets due to the politics of the system anyway. Does not matter. What is important here is that when mind or inside such a desire or sankalpam has become very, very strong, so the recognition I have to get, I didn't get it. They get that strongly and the scientists commit suicide. Scientists have committed suicide many times. So here what you have to realize is that if I am this body, I can't find any perfection in this body. I can't find any perfection in this body. So at that time, he asked this question to him. Indra asked some question to Brahma. So Brahma again gave him some instructions, but not directly the truth. Never spoke to Indra still. Because in Brahma's eyes, Indra is not ready yet for spiritual life. That's how Brahma is seeing that. So Indra was not satisfied. Again, he comes back a few times. And ultimately, after a lot of discussions between Indra and Brahma, Indra has come to a little higher stage every time. Throughout Upanishads, you will see this. Bhrigu and Varuna goes back and forth all the time. Never telling the actual answer or realization, never given first time. Katha Upanishad, same thing with Nachiketas and Yama. And throughout Upanishads, you will see. And that Srinarada Maharshi and Sanat Kumara Maharshi, there's a discussion. Narada Maharshi goes to Sanat Kumara Maharshi asking for transcendental instructions. Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to Narada Maharshi, not that, but he won't say what it is. Narada Maharshi kept asking, is it this, is it that? He says, no. But then what is it? He won't say that. So even Sri Narada Maharshi had to go through this kind of experiences in spiritual life. So ultimately, what did Brahma do to Indra? Indra says to him, that he brought Indra and told him about the Sushupti state. Indra also sleeps. You know that. Indra is not that Indra is not awake all the time. Only difference is in time parameters if you take. Our 6 months is 1 day for them. And our 6 months is 1 night for them. Our 1 year is 1 day for them. In relative terms I'm saying. So Indra, up to that time, did not think about the deep sleep state. It was then that Brahma spoke to him that deep sleep state and told him to think about the deep sleep. He told Brahma, told Indra to think about the deep sleep state, deep sleep. So he showed that deep sleep state to Indra and told him, what did you feel about that state? Brahma made Indra to experience that state. So when he experienced that deep sleep state, he started thinking about the deep sleep. So he went back again and started vijaram. Vijaram means reflection on the deep sleep state in his way. He started analyzing it. And then Indra comes back and says to him, I was not there in the deep sleep state and nobody was there, he said to Brahma. And I didn't have any enemies either. Indra is always frightened. Is there any enemy ready to take over his position there? Is it not? That's why you see so many problems. Always Indra had to fight. Make sure that nobody is going to take over his position. So but then Brahma asked him what has happened there at that time. Indra says, there was a kind of vacuum feeling, but I didn't know what was going on, he said. Tatra na tatra bhogyam pashyami, he says. And I didn't know anything about it at that time. At that time, what happened? I didn't know anything. That's all I can tell you, he said. While commenting on this experience of Indra, Shankaracharya's commentary in the Brahma Sutram says, Sutra Bhashyam, he writes that, Indra missed self-realization by a silver thread, he says. That's how he puts it. He left self-realization by a silver thread. Just by a small thread, he lost it. He didn't make it. He says like this, only such a distance, a silver thread distance, he lost the truth. He didn't get it. What is the reason? So, in that deep sleep state, because he didn't deeply reflect and contemplate on that and do introspection properly and analyze that deep sleep properly, therefore, without realizing the truth, he came back to the vacant state and got absorbed in the vacant state. And also, inside him, this vasana was there that in the vacant state, I want to enjoy again. That has not gone from him. So once you have that thought inside, that in the vacant state, I want to enjoy. If that has not gone away, even if you reflect on the deep sleep state, you won't get that. You will miss it. Why? This vasana will take over from inside. So you can see in Jnanamargam, you come to a stage where all your desires in the vacant state must go. Must go. There should not be any more another second thought. Oh, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I have all these plans to do for the rest of the day. And these things I have to do for my happiness in life. And such thoughts even has to go away. Only then, when you analyze the deep sleep state, it will have its effect. It will have its good effect, sound effect from that. So, therefore, he was thinking like, because Indra was thinking like that, he missed that boat. He missed that realization. Self-realization, he has missed. Therefore, Prajapati Brahma says to him the next step. What he says to him? That is what you will read in the Chandogya Upanishad. Ashariram va vasantam sa priya priye sarvagadaha. That is the statement. This is what happened to in the Chandogya. If you read, you will see. Ashariram va vasantam na priya priyo va sarva priya priyoha sarvagadaha. What does it mean? Ashariram. Ashariram means no body. No body was there in the deep sleep. There was no body, isn't it? You know, these three statements you have to always remember while you are discussing this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. What is that? In the vacant state, I am there. The body is there. The mind is there. I am there. In the dream state, body is gone. Mind is there. I am there. In the deep sleep, body is gone. Mind is gone. I am there. This is a simple thing to remember. Shariram, Manasa, and the Self. Three things. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In these three states, what happens? That's what it is important. So, Ashariram Vava Sandamna Priya Priya Sarvagadaha. He noticed that, Indra says, gross body is not there, mind is not there, false ego was not there, none of them were there in the deep sleep state. But, Indra also sensed that there was something there. Something was there in the deep sleep. Because if it was not there, where is it coming from when you wake up that there was happiness there in the deep sleep? Where is that coming from? That what you have experienced in the deep sleep state, when you wake up in the morning, when you feel happiness about that deep sleep, unless somebody has witnessed it or experienced it, he cannot, you cannot say that in the morning, could you? When you wake up in the morning, if somebody, someone, doesn't matter who it is, was recording it or experiencing it in the deep sleep, somebody is saying, I had a good time in the deep sleep. And you wake up in the morning, you are naturally saying this, that it was quite nice. The deep sleep was very good. I had no problem with the body, mind, intelligence, ego. Nothing was bothering me. I was not here, we say. I was not in this world. I was out of this world. Something like that, we will say like this, isn't it? So, but there was something there, that was too. What was there? That, and that was too, Shastram is saying to us, on its own, is full of, completely fulfillment is there inside. And also you notice that in that sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, there was no imperfection. You are not lacking anything. A total fulfillment there. So absolute, indivisible reality there in that deep sleep state. Because only in the deep sleep state all the division goes away. Is it not? That you know. Now we have divisions, isn't it? Within ourselves, we all have divisions based on the body, based on our religion, based on our positions, based on our ashramam, based on our varnam, ashram, whatever it is, so many divisions in us. But once you go into deep sleep, there is no division. Rich man, poor man doesn't exist. Brahmana, Shudra doesn't exist. Brahmachari, sannyasi doesn't exist. Guru, disciple doesn't exist. And the king and the subject doesn't exist. Prime minister and president doesn't exist. Nothing exists. All divisions goes away in the deep sleep state. That's the beauty of the deep sleep state. So if such a state exists, then Indra asked this question to Brahma, that I can see that beauty of that state. Who says this? Indra says to Brahma, there was no division. In other words, duality goes away in deep sleep. In Sushupti, there is no dvaidam. There is no dvaidam. But as soon as you come to awakened state, what happens? The false ego comes back first. I am. I'm ready for the fight. That's what it is, isn't it? In the morning when you get ready, first thing, I'm ready to fight the world. You're fighting the world every day, aren't you? In the morning to evening, fighting this world. So Ahankaram wakes up first thing in the morning, and so what happens at that time is, as soon as it has come about, that before that Ahankaram came up in the morning, what was there? That is what we are interested. Before that Ahankaram, false ego has come up in us in the morning when we woke up. Therefore, at that stage, what was there? That was the question, and what is the way to know that? That is our question, isn't it? Before we woke up in the morning and the false ego popped up, I am, Ahankaram has come about. Before that stage, what was going on inside us? That is what is the way to know that? And that is the Shraddha is required there. That is where Shraddha is required. You can see this every day, every morning. it is our experience this, every morning. It is our experience when we wake up, when the false ego wakes up. Isn't it? It's the false ego that wakes up first. So this false ego wakes up, and also, and with that the world also wakes up. With the waking up of the false ego, the mind wakes up, and then the world wakes up. For us, isn't it? We become active in the world after that. So Yajnavalkya Maharshi says this, is that you have to realize this like this. He said that somebody is living in a house. Underneath that house, there is a gold mine. There is tons and tons of gold underneath the house. The man who is living in the house, he does not know that. He does not know that there is gold underneath the house. He is going out to work from morning 9 to 5 or all day and night he is working to get a few hundred pounds to live in this world. But right under his house there is so much gold, he is not aware of that. And this is our situation. Yajnavalkya says this to Janaka. Yajnavalkya says this to Janaka. And he is walking, he does not know that even if he lives there 10,000 years, he says nothing is going to change. So long as he comes to, does not come to know about the gold underneath. Similarly, he says, if you do not ask this question, if you do not give your attention to that deep sleep, Sushupti state, you are like that, he said. Yajnavalkya says this, a famous personality, Yajnavalkya, isn't it? Yajnavalkya is well known, Taittiriya Upanishads has come from through him. So that Yajnavalkya, who used to discuss with Janaka and Ashtavakra in their assembly, Upanishads, they used to discuss together. So that Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying like this, that one day somebody comes to him and says to him, look, there is something underneath your house, let's start digging. There is something you can find like that. And when they dug, they found this enormous amount of gold there. And the house owner is thinking, how many years I have gone and done this work in this world to live here, when this was lying right underneath here. That is the situation. That what happens at that time is Kshetrajna. Krishna is calls the word as Kshetrajna inside. So his name is Kshetrajna. Krishna. Kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Arjuna, Krishna says that, isn't it? So what we know today is only this bag of urine and stool. That's what we know. That's what we know. This bag of urine and stool. In this bag of urine and stool and flesh and blood, there is something extremely precious and valuable inside us that we don't want to inquire after. Exactly like this person who was living on top of a gold mine and he was working very hard to earn a living. Similarly, this incident, this Malabhandam, that is the word they used in the Shastra. Malabhandam means a bag of urine, stool, flesh, blood, bones, marrow, whatever that is inside. All abominable things. Inside this, there is such a precious thing that is there. The soul. That we don't know. That we don't know. Remember that story I mentioned before? When Chandrasekhara Saraswati was in Periyava, who was the 68 Shankaracharya in Kanchipuram, when he was living there, one day, one person came up to him and Chandrasekhara Saraswati asked him, could you give your house to us? I mentioned this story before. I don't know whether you remember that. So he asked, could you give your house to us? The man said, no, we can't. He was very hesitant because many families, generations, they have lived in that house. He said, I'll go home and discuss with others and come back to you. And saying a very diplomatic reply, he went home. He never came back. Few years gone like this. Chandrasekhara Saraswati was still thinking about that house. And this person had problems at home. So many things happened. Deaths have happened. Some people have got very seriously ill and everything. So the father to whom Chandrasekhara Saraswati asked to hand over the house to the mutt. And the mutt said, told him that we will arrange alternative accommodation for you. But still they were hesitant to hand over the house to them. Hand over the house to them. But finally, Chandrasekhara Saraswati didn't say anything after that. He kept quiet. For a few years he kept quiet. One day when all the problems happened at home, the father sent the son to the mutt to see the Swamiji and Chandrasekhara Swamiji and talk to him about this situation, what happens at home. So when the son went there and spoken to him, Chandrasekhara Saraswati heard everything and asked him, I asked a question to your father a few years ago about that house handing over to the mutt. I didn't get any reply so far, he said. So he didn't say anything in a very rude way, in a very polite way, he put it in front of him. And the son goes back to the father and says to him that, he has raised that issue of the house again. But without connecting that with these things, what was happening at home. Sometimes, normally our mind will naturally go in that direction, isn't it? Is this all happening because I didn't do what I was told to do? He left that to them to think about it. He didn't say that you should hand over the house. He said to them that, I want the house given to the mutt. You can have some other place, we'll give it to you. So he goes back and then they discussed mutually, the father and the son, the other family members, and they decided to hand over the house to the mother. When they handed over the house to the mother, as they arranged alternative accommodation for them, they moved away. First thing, they invited this Sthapati. Sthapati means one who performs building the chariots, building the deities, making the deities. They are called Sthapatis. It's a group of people who do that. So they were invited to the mat. Chandrasekhara Swamiji made a plan on the paper, said that dig all these places inside the house and see what happens. Accordingly, they went back and started digging the house. Can you imagine a house where somebody is living and there was nothing wrong with the house? An instruction comes from the mat to go and dig the place. So they went and dug the place. As soon as they dug the place, suddenly they saw from underneath a bull, a bull's deity, which is normally in Shiva temples, if you go, you will see a big bull in front of the Shiva's vehicle. Bull was there. So when they saw the bull, they came back and said to Chandrasekhara Saraswati that there's a bull there, his deity was there. Chandrasekhara Saraswati went there and he measured from there, because they have calculations for from the bull to the deity, how much distance was there. He measured it and said, you start digging here now, which was the toilet. Did you say? Toilet. And told them, you dig here now. They started digging and digging. After a lot of digging, they found a very, very beautiful Shivalingam underneath that. Underneath that. And that Shivalingam was taken out. And Chandrasekhara Saraswati told them to install in a famous temple, and all the purificatory services were all performed, and he even mentioned about that Shivalingam, the history of that Shivalingam, is that Vishnu worships that Shivalingam in the Padmanabha Swami temple, and therefore he was called as Padmanabheshwara. That was the name given to that deity. Now, what do we understand from this? That a house, right underneath the toilet, there was a Shivalingam. Similarly, we think, we wonder, can it be possible that Krishna is present inside this body, which is made of nothing but all the ingredients, which are particularly bad, is it not? And still, inside this, Krishna has come and decided to stay here, inside. So, Shastram is telling us that if you don't inquire about this, that reality, Krishna inside, you may be having all these doubts about this body, but breaking this up body into the anubhavam level, experience level, and breaking it away from the perception of the pratiti level is important. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Ashraddhadana purusham dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartande mrityu samsaravatmani. All these verses in the 9th chapter requires a lot of reflection and introspection on that. They will reveal to us what our real state is in this world. This example we are talking about before the break, that what Chandrasekhara Bharati was saying to them, that through that example he was saying, we are also in the same way. We don't know about ourselves enough. We are just another walking toilet it is. This is actually a walking toilet, this is, this body. And our body itself is the toilet. And inside this toilet, there is a full vastu, purna vastu, Krishna, who is present inside there. And Krishna is saying here, when a spiritual master, when he meets a person who has developed very deep shraddha in him, and he has come to that mature stage of perfection, at that time he points out to him that that thing what you are looking for is inside you, is inside you. And when he shows that to us, it is the most amazing time in our whole existence. When finally he, because for several lifetimes we lived in this body, in different toilets, that's all. In human toilet or animal's toilet or whatever, it's a toilet at the end, isn't it? No matter how much you decorate it and look it attractive and nice and present it to the world and smiles all the time, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what is this body? If you leave Vivekachidamani, it will tell you about it, what this body is worthwhile looking for. Full of complex issues there. that and all of them gives trouble as well. Body gives trouble, mind gives trouble, intelligence gives trouble, above all the false ego gives trouble. Everything is giving trouble. And inside this, Krishna has come and stayed there. And that is what, and till he, somebody comes to that stage of purity inside, in the consciousness, and he comes to that state of Shraddha, and a spiritual master or a realized soul shows to him that that truth is inside you, and that is the most amazing experience in our whole existence. Up to that time, because in several bodies we have suffered in several ways, isn't it? In a human body we are suffering now. Prior to this, different human bodies we have changed, there also we have suffered. Prior to that, what all other animal bodies we have taken, God knows what all we have gone through. 8.4 million, Shastram says, 8.4, and each might have repeated also, who knows. So, in all that bodies, we never had knowledge, no realization, nothing of the truth. All what we had was ignorance. Even now, what we have is completely ignorance. Nothing else. What all we are made of is nothing but ignorance inside and some Brahmam. Brahmam is the word they call it. Illusion, in other words, about the world. Some illusion about the world and some Brahmam about this body, thinking that this body is something worthwhile carrying with us and perfection is possible within this body. This is the greatest illusion. Shastram is telling us perfection is not possible in this body. Is not possible with this body, mind, intelligence and the ego. So, having said all that, so therefore you will start wondering this question, this issue, is it possible to have a Purna Vastu, Sachidanandam, Satta Chitta Anandam, full of bliss, full of knowledge and eternal, such a Vastu, can it exist inside this body? This question will come, is it not? We will ask this naturally question. As far as you know this body, it is full of problems. And inside this body, can there exist something which is full of knowledge, full of bliss and eternal? Is that possible? That question will start building up inside. That's how our inquiry gets serious then. That's how the inquiry gets serious. When will that come? Just like you can see. Suppose a doctor calls you and says to you, I will do a surgery on you. I'll do a surgery on you. And you won't go for that, would you? You won't go. He'll say to you, no, I'll do some surgery on you and change something in your body. He'll say, no, I'm okay. You mind your business. I can manage myself. You'll say like this. But suddenly, if you get a very serious illness, a serious disease, and then you had to go to the same doctor, and doctor says to you, I'm sure I can get this, there's a tumor or whatever that is, I'll get it operated and remove it. But before you doing that, before he does that, he gives you a form to fill in. He tells you, you fill all this form and sign it at the bottom. If anything goes wrong, I'm not responsible. He'll say to you like that. You have no problem. You are willing to sign straight away. The same person, before that when he said, he was not willing to take it. But later when the doctor says to you that you have to sign the form, otherwise I'm not going to do it. So suddenly, how did this trust came in the doctor? In a few days, a disease came, serious disease, and you are willing to surrender everything to the doctor at that time. Prior to that, he says, no, I know what's happening. I can manage myself. I don't need any help. Something he has said like that. But overnight, the situation has changed, isn't it? And you will sign straight away. That's the only place where you didn't read the print in the small letters, nothing. You mean every other British Gas bill, and electricity board bill, you have to read all the small print at the bottom. But this form the hospital gives to you, you will only ask one question, where should I sign? That's the only question you'll ask. And rest everything you leave it to the hospital people. Isn't it? I mean, you know that this is our own experience, isn't it? When we go to the hospital. So, what happened here now? Suddenly, what has happened is, when dukkham, distress came, Shraddha came. Isn't it? When distress came, Shraddha developed inside. Overnight, Shraddha developed inside. That is the impact of that. So, similarly, when dukkham comes, distress comes in life, we will take Bhagavad Gita seriously. We'll take, it won't be anymore a topic for seminar. Seminar is all finished. Up to that time, we will have lectures and classes and seminars and everything. Seminars and everything. And you will look for ways to keep your spiritual life based on all the regulative principles and what else is that your other rules and regulations, everything will go on in spiritual life. But as soon as it gets hits your body and you are in suffering, there will be no regulative principles you won't be worried about. You won't be worried about the sadhana and things like that. Out goes through the window. It's all finished there. Is it not? So that is but the Shraddha comes very seriously at that time. That is when you will become close to Krishna consciousness. It is unconditional surrender happens at that time. Unconditional, that is. You don't have to, you will ask anything to the doctor at that time, you will sign the form. Isn't it? In the same way. So, because I have no other way, I cannot do anything about it. That stage happens. So, you can do whatever you like with my body. You can do whatever you like and you sign it. So, similarly, when the distress comes in life, you will start believing Krishna's words. Otherwise, you won't believe anything what Krishna is saying. You will still use your mind and intelligence and start analyzing things. Oh, Krishna is saying like this, Krishna is saying like that. And this guru told me this, this guru told me that. So many things we will say. But when things like this situation happens, like with this patient and the doctor, in a similar way, when you get hit by the with the body and the mind, and then when you know that this drama is going to finish one day, that time you are willing to change. That time we are willing to surrender. That time we are willing to listen to things. So Krishna is saying here, the vastu that you are inquiring after is inside you. Krishna is saying to us now, the vastu you are after, vastu means the object you are looking for, is inside everyone. Up to that time you won't take it seriously, and you yourself are that vastu, what is inside. So, for those people who have got Shraddha, it's a straight path. It's a straight path. So, on the other hand, one who is thinking, I'm ignorant, I'm an ajnani, I don't know, and and I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a brahmana, I'm this, this, and to and Krishna is saying to us, all this is not true. You are not a man, you are not a woman, you are not a brahmana, you are not a shudra. That is why in all jnanak prakaranak grandham you will read, you will see these things continuously told. And it is not different whether it is impersonalism or personalism. When Sanatana Goswami went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked him, "Ke ami, who am I?" was the question. What was the answer? He says, "Naham manushyo, naja deva yaksho, na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudraha, na brahmachari grihi, na brahmachari na grihi vanastho, bichurna chaham nija bodharupam." Famous persons are saying this. Who? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this. Astamalaga is saying this. Shankaracharya is saying this. All of them are saying to us this thing. They are realized jnanis. They are great devotees. They are saying to this same one truth to us all the time. Na brahmachari, na grihi, na vanastho, bhikshu, na bhikshu. I am not a sannyasi. Bhikshur na chaham. Then what am I? Nija bodharupam. I am pure consciousness. I am pure consciousness. Now, they have all spoken like this. All these great acharyas and devotees have spoken to us this truth. Krishna has spoken to us the same truth. And if we don't accept it, is that not insulting Krishna? Is that not insulting all the acharyas? If we don't accept it. And if we still think that it is not the truth, there is something more to it. So that is where this whole issue comes very serious. That Krishna is saying here in the next verse, that's what it's going to talk about. He says here that I am still thinking I'm an ignorant person, I'm a man, I am this, I'm that. And Krishna is saying to her, there is nothing imperfection in you. You are perfect. What is imperfect is the body, the mind, the intelligence, and things like that. But you have to recognize that and look inwards and realize it there inside you. And you are already that substance, and as soon as you have recognized it, recognition happens inside, At that time, what happens is Sadhyo Mukti. It happens, the word that you said, it is Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means in Jnanamargam, what will happen is, due to continuous contemplation of the truth and analysis of all what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandham, if you regularly study it and analyze it deeper level, suddenly one day that Pratyabhijna will happen. Pratyabhijna means that realization from inside that I'm not this. When Shankaracharya met Govinda Bhagavadpada, Govinda Bhagavadpada asked him, who are you? His answer was exactly the same thing. Astamalika met Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya asked him, who are you? That was his answer. When Sanatana Goswami went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami said, my serious problem is that I don't know who I am. And then he's mentioned to him, na brahmana, na kshatriya, na vaishya, shudra, na brahmachari. I'm not a brahmana, I'm not a kshatriya, I'm not a vaishya, I'm not a shudra. I'm not a brahmachari, I'm not a grastha, I'm not a vanaprastha, I'm not a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Gobi Bhartru Padagamalayo Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa, that you are a servant of Krishna. Two different ways of expressing the same truth. Jnani goes through the path of pure consciousness. Devotee goes as the servant of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whichever way you express it, in reality they are one and the same. They are not different. Then a jnani will come to realize exactly the same thing. He knows through these realizations that ultimately he has to surrender, and jnani surrenders. Devotee first surrenders everything and then he comes to know that he is pure consciousness. That. So these are the things, spiritual life, these are the important steps what one has to. So Pratyabhijna. And immediately when that happens, that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I am pure, Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupam, pure Vastu, Purna Vastu, Bodham, awareness, and that will happen. That awareness will wake up from inside. And as soon as the spiritual master shows that awareness to him, he will get it. And if he didn't get it, Krishna says, Mrityu Samsara Vartmani, that is the next alternative for us. If this doesn't happen in this life, what's the next thing? Krishna is saying that, Mrityu Samsara Vartmani, there's only next thing. Come back, again go through the cycle, once again. So, what does the spiritual master shows to him? The truth. His truth is shown to him, that means his swarupam, his identity, isn't it? If you give the attention, if the Shraddha is there, the moment he has given the attention there, and if he has realized it through the mercy of the spiritual master, what will happen to him? That is the next verse. Let's read that.
Maya tadamidam sarvam, verse 4. Jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhudani nachaham te shvavastidaha maya tadamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhudani nachaham te shvavastidaha maya tadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhudani na chaham teshu avastidaha. Let's read the translation. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And these two verses now, fourth and the fifth verse, we will not understand it. Better not to struggle hard with it. We'll discuss it, but we will not understand. They are meant for after realization. To really understand this verse, this will only you will understand it after realizing the self. This one and the next one. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhudani na chaham teshu avastida. Krishna is saying, this verse has always been a very crisis verse for many devotees also.
If you ask the question to them, what does it mean? That he's in everything, but I'm not in any one of them. So then problem starts, isn't it? So what can you do? So Mayadadam idam sarvam. Let's look at the verse. Jagad avyakta murtina. Matsani. Remember that we are discussing Bhakti Yoga. So what does the verse say? Our Bhakti, the way we understood Bhakti, and what Krishna is discussing Bhakti Yoga in a way that based on the realizations. This is Bhakti. This realization, if it happens, you can say he has got Bhakti. Otherwise, how do you say it's proof? Because I'm just doing a few ardis in the temple, or I'm even chanting a few rounds, or if I'm doing some other spiritual activities, you can't say you have Bhakti. Krishna says, a person who has got Bhakti, this is the symptom. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsani sarvabhudhani nachaham teshu avasthidaha. So here he says, so Krishna is saying here, this whole creation, what you see, vyaptam. Vyaptam means I'm spread in everything. I'm spread everywhere. Not directly I'm spread. Avyakta murtina, he says. Avyakta murtina. I am present in everything in this creation, but my presence is avyakta murtina. Avyaktam. I am present in everything, avyaktam. And what you cannot know by senses, what you cannot be known by senses, what you cannot capture with the mind or intelligence, that is avyaktam. What you cannot, because Krishna is saying to us, he is present in everything. We are looking through our eyes and seeing, looking for Krishna there, we can't find. Krishna is saying, I am there. So you think Krishna is telling us a lie? That he has manufactured something to fool us, that saying all these verses. No, it's not. It's because mind, intelligence and senses has its limits. It finishes at one point in life. So therefore he is saying, Jagada Avyakta Murtina, I'm there, but you can't see me. That's the problem, the way you want to see it. So seeing again is different at this time. So, and then he says, that is avyaktam. That is avyaktam. Avyaktam means that you can't get it through your mind or through your senses or through the intelligence. And all the living entities, Krishna is saying, they are in me. All living entities. This in my, not only the human species, all other birds, bees, insects, plants, trees, whatever it may be, all millions of different living entities, they are all in me, Krishna is saying. So, jagad avyarta murtina tadam vyaptam matstani sarvabhudani. Matstani sarvabhudani, Krishna is saying. So, so, then the question is coming, if everything is Krishna's presence there, then everyone, our great personality, Krishna is present in me, Krishna is present in you, Krishna is present in everybody, then the next thing will be that we can do anything we like, because I am Krishna then. Isn't it? This thinking will come. That I am Krishna. Krishna is present in me. So whatever I do, is Krishna is doing it. We will see that. Then I'll start saying that I can do what I like. I can eat anything what I like. I can live the way what I want to live. Therefore, what did Krishna say? Na chaham teshu avasthida. Immediately Krishna corrected it that. Saying that. I am present in everything, but I am not present anywhere. Na chaham teshu avasthida. That is why that clarification, so that you don't go and do wrong things. Because what will happen is, it is very easy to think, I am Krishna. It's not very difficult, isn't it? Krishna is present in me, is it not? So I am Krishna. This is what happened to the many Mayavadis case. This is where things have gone wrong. They didn't study Bhagavad Gita in that properly. They started thinking they didn't follow Shankaracharya's instructions. They created their own. They started thinking that Krishna is present in all of us. So whatever we do, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So matsani, sarvabhudani, they took that. Nachaham teshu avasthida, they didn't take it. So their things went wrong. So it's a clarification in that line. I am present in everyone, but I'm not present anywhere. Nachaham teshu avasthida. Although I am present in everyone, although everybody is present in me, I'm not there in everyone. I'm not present in everyone. Here is where you need the clarity in that verse. This is where the clarity is required. Because when you have woken up,
that you are spirit soul. When you become conscious of, or awareness has woken up inside, in everybody, anyone, at that time, he will know, realize it, that Krishna is present in everyone. That's the important thing. When the awareness inside has woken up, and you have touched the point there, center point, that the soul, presence of the soul inside, when you have realized that self, at that time you will know that everything is Krishna. Not before that. You can't take the law before that realization. This principle what Krishna has spoken here. That you can't take it and act based on that. Krishna is present in everyone, so everything is okay. No. When you realize, when that awareness is woken up inside, that about yourself, who you are, Alma, awareness has happened inside, at that time, automatically you will see Krishna in everything. That's when it happens. And at the same time, all living entities, you will notice that is present in Krishna. Krishna is speaking now based on the platform of the soul. As the soul of everyone, he is speaking. Not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the deity in the temple. He is speaking as the Paramatma of all the living entities. He says that when you realize yourself what you are, the self, at that time you will notice that I am present in everyone. Only at that time. Again, to stress the point of realizing the self. That's why it is spoken like that. So, in the Bhagavatam, how does Krishna put it? Yadha yadalpa parimrujyadesau malpunya gadha shravana bhidhanehi tadha tadha pasyadi vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. He says to Uddhava, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, yadha yadalpa parimrujyadesau, as much as you keep on developing the Shraddha inside, and purification happens inside, and Shraddha reaches a very high state which develops into bhakti, at that time, Uddhava, what will happen? Malpunya gatha shravana abhidhanehi. That will happen hearing about Krishna and Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If you hear about Krishna and what Krishna has spoken, if you hear that continuously, tadha, tadha, immediately what will happen? Immediately, step by step, pashyati, you will start experiencing what? Vastu sushmam, that sushma vastu, the most subtle thing of our awareness inside. Vastu sushmam is that awareness inside will start waking up from there. And it will spread, start spreading in the whole body. Tadha, tadha, pashyati vastu sushmam. Chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. Krishna is saying this to Uddhava in the Ekadasha Skandam. So famous verse there. So that amazing experience, that realization at that time, that Krishna is present in everything, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. That you will, just like an operation is done in the eye and you get back your vision, clear, start seeing. After we had a cataract or anything, you had a big blur in your vision and you can't see things properly, and after the operation how you get your vision back. Similarly, Krishna is saying that as soon as self-realization happens, what will happen at that time is this same situation. He says suddenly you realize who you are, and that's what will happen. Suddenly you'll realize. So here notice one thing, that Krishna is not talking about seeing Krishna in a particular form or anything. He's not saying that. What he's saying, everything is Krishna, he says. Everything will be seen as Krishna. Not seeing Krishna's one particular form, but seeing everything as Krishna. So, the everything is Krishna, that realization is the realization of the jnanis. It's the realization of the jnanis. So, that is why Krishna is saying in that verse, Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Sarvam, jagad sarvam avyakta murtina. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. In other words, everything what you see, everything is in jagad avyakta murtina, which is at the moment unmanifested for us. But when you realize the truth, self, what will happen is mayatadam idam sarvam. My presence you will see in everything. My presence you will see in everything.
There is example in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Who? Prahlada. This is what happened to Prahlada. Prahlada say, one Prahlada is standing here, Hiranyakashipu is standing next to him. Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlada, where is your God you're talking about? God, God, Vishnu, Vishnu you are saying. Where is this Vishnu? Prahlada says, I don't see anything else except Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu says, I don't see anywhere Vishnu. Is it not? In the Bhagavatam, you know that, in the seventh canto. Prahlada is saying, I cannot see anything except Vishnu. And two different platforms. Hiranyakashipu is standing there, I can't see anywhere Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu thought Prahlada is trying to ridicule him or making a fun of him by saying like this, isn't it?
Sometimes we are not like Prahlada, that's the problem. So, but sometimes a little knowledge will come from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Sometimes we will understand about soul and everything. So, devotees used to do this in the beginning. They used to speak like this. The police arrested them for distributing books in the street. At that time, it was difficult. And they asked these devotees, where are you coming from? He says, Golokam. He says, coming from Golokam, from the spiritual world, I've come. Like these answers they used to give. The policeman, what does he know about the spiritual world? Poor policeman, he says, this is a case requires treatment. For him, that's what he knows about it, isn't it? There was an interesting experience about that. There was some of the things what happens in spiritual life is also very funny and interesting. A group of devotees in America, Los Angeles, I think, the temple devotees, they are still there, those devotees. They went out to some interior part somewhere in America distributing the books long ago. It was, I think, when Prabhupada was here at that time. When they were distributing the books, in some place, I think it was in the airport somewhere, one of the airports, I don't know where it was, the police arrested them and took them and locked them up inside in a cell somewhere on overnight. That was a Sunday, and Sunday feast was going on in the temple. So devotees were serious about it at that time. They were enjoying all that. They all worked very hard distributing books during the week and came back on Saturday afternoon. And with their scores, and Sunday they will have a good kirtan and a feast and a good class and everything. It was a very pleasant experience for many, many devotees at that. It was not very much a bureaucratic thing, or it was not institutionalized that much. Very much on a good relationship many devotees had initially. All the problems started when they became older. Difficulties started coming. Anyway, then police locked them up in a room, a group of brahmacharis, 8 or 10 of them. All of them were locked up in the room. So the devotees were saying, we have ended up here, Sunday feast is going on at the temple. So what they thought, they have read in the book about a Brahmana Prabhupada writes who cooked sweet rice and in meditation, Manasa Puja. In his mind, he had no thing to do, facilities to prepare sweet rice. So these devotees, they got together and they said, we can't go for the feast anyway. We will do the same thing like the Brahmana has done. This is the story of the Brahmana. You'll see that in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And another book also, Prabhupada mentions that story, isn't it? About a Brahmana who cooked a sweet rice and offered to Krishna in the mind. There was no sweet rice, but in the mind he had offered it, Krishna accepted. And then to test the sweet rice was okay, he put the finger and finger got burned. The strength of that sankalpam inside. That's what happened, the finger got burned. So they've read all these stories and the devotees thought themselves that we will give it a try, we'll do same like the Brahmana has done. So they all started cooking different preparations for the Sunday feast inside this prison. They didn't have anything there, no vegetables, no knife, nothing. But they were showing it with the hand, cutting the vegetables, slicing them, putting into the pot and burning them. So the jailer came up and looked. The jailer, the prison officer, he came and looked at them. And they were doing all these sorts of things in the prison.
Some of them were cutting vegetables. They did not understand what they were doing. They were cutting very seriously vegetables. Some of them were cooking. Some of them were serving. Some of them were washing the plates. And all these things they were doing. And some of them was making the offering also at the end. So prison officer was looking at them like this for a while. They had no clue what was going on. Say, they thought all of them are lost cases. So, you know what they did? The prison officer decided, let them go. We can't do anything with this lot. They opened the jail and said, will you just leave this place and go away from here? They came out and the van was there, which they left somewhere, got into the van and drove back to the temple. And by the time they got back to the temple, it was midnight. And they said this to the temple president, what happened at this. Those days, they were all young and they had a good relationship, devotees had each other. So when the president came to know, he said, let's cook a feast for them now. They had a proper feast and they presented with a good plate of prasadam to everybody. What I'm saying is that, coming back to this this incident, that these are real, these are not stories. Those people who have done that, they're still there if you want to verify them. With them, they're still living and these things have happened in the history of spiritual life with the devotees. So, mayatatam idam sarvam. But here, what the difference is, Krishna is saying here, after self-realization, only jagat avyakta murtina, Krishna's presence you will see. Now, if I go and tell someone that oh, I'm seeing Krishna everywhere, naturally, I'll be a case then for to be reported. The police will take action on me, would they? So, mayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina, that is to be realized after self-realized, after realizing the self, only this will happen. Before that, it won't happen. It is not some adjustment in the glasses or the specs or something so that you can see it better. It's not that. It's the adjustment inside what you need. That adjustment is self-realization. When you realize the self, this will happen. When you realize the self, this will happen. Mayadadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Krishna is saying like that. So, said, avyaktam means what? What does avyaktam means? Avyaktam means, actual meaning is, that this world, how do we know this world? Namarupa prapancham. That is what it is called. Namarupa prapancham means this creation. Creation has got name and form, isn't it? What we have got here is name and a form. Every object you can define with a name and a form. All persons we define with name and form. Every article, tube light or that light or table, chair, everything has got a name and a form. That is how you relate with that, isn't it? Namarupa prapancham. So, this Namarupa prapancham or what is in this creation, this is in this particular name and form because behind that there is Krishna behind that. Behind that there is Krishna. Because of that, this Namarupa prapancham exists. That. So that ashrayam, ashrayam is the shelter, Sachidanandam, Satya Chitta Anandam, that is Krishna. That Krishna's presence, because of that, Namarupa Prapancham exists. That is that realization. Namarupa Prapancham, name and form and this creation exist because behind that Krishna is there. That is why it exists. If Krishna is not there, this will not manifest and this will not be perceived by us through our senses. If Krishna doesn't exist, isn't it? That you will know when you study Shastram a little bit deeper, you'll come to know that Krishna's presence is what makes everything manifest in this world in a particular form. Namarupa Prapancham, it is called. When will we know that? When you have known Krishna's presence inside. When Krishna's presence, if you have known inside, at that time, you will know that Krishna is present in everything, behind everything, Krishna is present in there. So, when you know who you are, at that time, you will know that the whole creation is you. When you know who you are, then you will know that the whole creation is nothing but you. That means, at the moment, we are thinking in terms of the body, isn't it? But when you have realized the self inside, you will know it is the self that is present in everything. It is the self that is present in everything. There is nothing separately from that. Therefore, one personality, Thayumanavar, says this in a nice way. He says, after realization, what happened to him was,
He says, I cannot move anywhere anymore because I am present in everything. So where would I move? I cannot any more space to move, he says. So there is another inch, not an inch I can move, he says. Because he has lost this identification with the body and the mind, completely on the spiritual platform, in that realized state, that is his experience. That's what he is saying here. So, everything sarvam brahme pradishtidam. Everything is situated in that brahmam realization. So, that realization will not happen to the eyes open or samadhi state, how we are experiencing now. The point is here that you may not have to. Now, here is the important thing. That normally in the yogam practice, Ashtanga Yogam, I'm talking about Patanjali's Ashtanga Yogam, they go into samadhi state with closed eyes. That's when samadhi happens inside. This samadhi is with the eyes open. That is in the difference between the jnana margam and the yoga margam. Both are correct. In yoga margam, what you are experiencing is with the closed eyes inside through Ashtanga Yoga process, which means yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, samadhi. That state comes realization inside. But in the jnana margam, this happens not by closing the eyes. Through shamam, damam, tidiksha, uparadi, shraddha, samadhanam, through the process, or the sadhana chatushtayam, nitya anitya vastu vivegam, ihamutra bhala bhoga viragam, shamadamadishal sambatti, mumukshatvam, when all these things have developed and the shraddha has come to a very high degree, and when he gets this realization through the spiritual master, when he makes him aware of his own identity, at that time, that realization is not like the way yogis get it in their deep absorption. Wide eyes, wide open, he is seeing his realization in that state. See the difference? In the yogi's case, they go into the Himalayas and great seclusions, isn't it? They go there. And in total isolation, they have freedom from all other sense objects. They engage in meditation, control of their mind, the senses, then the process of dharana, asanam, properly to sit, pranayamam process, yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, samadhi. If you read Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, you will see this explained there, that whole process, Patanjali system. But there what happens in samadhi state, when you close the eyes, and inside that realization happens about the identity of the who you are, that realization comes. In jnana margam is the other way. After the following the process of jnana margam, what will happen at that time is when the shraddha has built up to a high degree, and that turns into when the shraddha has turned into bhakti, it develops into bhakti, and when bhakti has reached its highest degree, at that time when he comes into contact with a realized soul, and that realized soul points out to him that the vastu you are looking for inside you, and he starts seeing the vastu inside as well as outside, both. He sees inside as well as he sees outside. For him at that time, what exists is only Krishna everywhere, nothing else. So whether he keeps his eyes open or closed, he is in the samadhi state. He is in the samadhi state. There is no anushtanam required. There is no anushtanam required. So, and such a person doesn't need sadhana either. In yoga marga, what happens is, they realize this through Patanjali system. They see that, you will see in the Bhagavatam also it is mentioned there, about the same realization, isn't it? If you look into the very last verse of the Bhagavatam, you will say, Ya Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marudastanvandi Divyaistaveh Vedai Sangabadeir Kramopanishadeir Gayandiyam Samagaha Dhyanavastita Dadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidusura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Namam. I think it is three verses or so before the end of Bhagavatam. There it mentions there that Ya Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruda Swanvandi Divyaistavehi, all the great demigods, they are glorifying Krishna, isn't it? Swanyandi Divyaisaver,
What else? Vedai, all the Vedic literature, Sangavadai, Kramo, Upanishadai, Upanishads, they all talk about what? Gayandiyam, Samagaha. Samavedam also is singing about that truth. And it is that same truth. Dhyana avasthita tadgadena manasa. When great, great yogis are in their meditations, dhyanavastha, dhyanavastha is that, in dhyanam, in meditation. Tadgadena manasa, inside, pashyandiyam yogino, yogis sees, pashyandi. What do they see? That Krishna, inside. That pashyandi, seeing Krishna's presence inside, and there, that they are that truth is inside, is realized inside there. In Jnani's case, it's the other way. That out of studying Shastram and developing this introspection inside for a long period of time, and when it becomes very intense, what will happen? That mind will change into Shraddha. Shraddha will change into Bhakti. And Bhakti will lead at a particular point, Krishna will make arrangements for when he is ready, the person will be there in the front to finally release that person from that ignorance, the final release. All the great acharyas have appeared in this world for this purpose. This also we have to know. All, they did not come here to tell us what sadhana we have to do. You should remember this. We start thinking that their purpose of appearance was that always in this world there will be people who are following spiritual life, and they will require at some point somebody to finally release them. That releasing business is the duty of the acharya. Acharyas have all done this. They will, when they come, they will know where to find those people who are come to that state to go, to ready to go from here. And they will go to them. Hastamalaka case is perfect example of that. You will see, when we study Hastamalakiyam, you will see there. That there are many, many living entities in this world who are practicing spiritual life. We don't know about them. And they are trying to get released from this world. Not want to come back here again. Very seriously, intensely searching for the truth. We may not notice them because we are busy with the world. But there are other people who are doing that. And there will always be like that in this world. It will always be there. It's not that it's not going to happen. Always there are people in this world who are looking for that realization of the truth. And so long as there are there people like that, at some point there will be someone who is very mature and ready to leave this world. But they will require that final touch from a great soul. And it is at that time, this Acharya's life, if you read, you will see this is most of the time what they have done. They have gone and released them at the final. That was the purpose of their coming here. Otherwise, their interest was not making propaganda or to give us some instructions on what sadhana, how many rounds we should chant or what kind of lifestyle we should... No, that is not issue for them. That is not an issue for them. Because in this world, as long as this world is meant for that purpose, to train us up in spiritual life. That's why Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? It's like a patashala. It's an open school for spiritual realization, self-realization. So there will be always people who are trying to realize the truth. There will be always people who are very advanced and matured and perfect, trying for perfection, close to perfection. And when they are very close to perfection, finally they will need someone to come and tell them that they are in the right position and they will be released soon. They will require that at that time. That is the duty of the Guru. The spiritual master's responsibility is that. And that's what he does. And accordingly you will see, centered around them, others will come at that time. Those who are attracted and those who are matured, they'll get closer to him. It's in a natural phenomenon this is in this world. It does not happen. It's not a pre-planned thing. It's arrangement in the nature. When your Shraddha has built up inside, automatically Krishna will take you to the right place, to the right person. It's not due to planning, it will happen. It won't happen. You can't plan these things. Shraddha, 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 Ashraddha, Anapurusha, Dharmasyasya Parandava. Krishna is saying here, isn't it? Dharmasyasya Parandava. Ashraddhadana purusha dharmasyasya parantava. Then, aprapyamam nivartande mrityu samsara vartmani.
So, all the arrangements for spiritual life is there in this world. Krishna has set it up that way. That everything will happen. We have to follow the process. That is the most important thing. Developing that Shraddha, developing that Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, what Krishna is saying there. And when that Shraddha has developed and start becoming Bhakti, at that stage, Krishna has to send someone to give you that, the release from here. And once he says that, because that person who comes will be a realized soul. And if he says that, you won't have any difficulty in accepting it. Immediately you will take it on board because you are already ready for it. Maturity is there inside because of the Shraddha and Bhakti inside. Only then it can happen. Only then it can happen. Otherwise it will not happen. That is the point Krishna is mentioning here. So such a person at that time when that realization happens, in that situation, once that realization comes to him, day and night time he will have that. Day in and day out. He will have that experience. Whether he is sleeping, whether he closed his eyes, he opens his eyes, what he is seeing is Mayatadam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. That's the realization at that time. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. That samadhi state. In other words, nothing exists separated from the soul. Soul is only what exists. Material body doesn't exist. Matter doesn't exist. You will notice that soul is behind everything. Even the so-called matter, what we are now trying to identify and identify with, even that matter doesn't exist. It is because of the realization inside of the self that will happen. And in Prahlada, you will see this particular incident in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Prahlada was in that state all the time. It happened to him right from the day when he came out of the womb of the mother. From Kayadhu when he came out, because Narada Maharshi instructed Prahlada in the womb, Kayadhu's womb. And he heard everything. Who was Prahlada? You have to remember that also. The four Kumaras, they have taken one form, one body, and came as Prahlada. Now it may sound very strange to us. Four people can come as one person? How is that possible? Listen, you may ask that question. Once you understand the science of the soul, this doubt will go. Soul is consciousness. When it comes in four different bodies, you call it as four Kumaras. But the Vastu is not the four Kumaras, it is the soul. And that soul, four Kumaras, they have decided to come in one form, they can do that. They can do that. In Brahma Sutra, if you read, you will see how great personalities they can expand into as many forms as they want. Like Krishna has shown that to us, is it not? When he wanted to marry, I think it was Satya, the one of the eight wives, the king, Satya's father, put the restriction there that there were seven powerful bulls there. And at the same time, Krishna, they told Krishna that only that person who comes and fight with all the seven bulls at the same time and able to bring them under control, only such a person Satya will marry. This was a restriction the king has imposed. So Krishna went there to marry Satya. What did he do? He expanded himself into seven forms. And with seven forms he controlled the seven bulls. And Krishna says there at that time, this is not a difficult thing for me because throughout my childhood this was my business, playing with the cows and the bulls. So it was not a new thing for me. I'm making a joke of it. And all the seven bulls were brought under control and he married Satya there. Later on, this is to show that it is, once you have come to the spiritual platform, expanding into many forms, bringing back to one form is not a new thing. It is all a part of that spiritual realization. Krishna explains that in the Aishwarya Siddhis also, is it not? Many forms you can expand into, come back into one form. So, same thing, when 16,000 wives, when Krishna is married, Sri Narada Maharshi went to find out, how does Krishna marry his householder life? How does he marry the householder life? With one wife is so much difficulty. With 16,000, how is he going to manage it? That was the question the was asked to Sri Narada Maharshi. And Narada Maharshi went up to find out that. That is in the Bhagavatam, that famous Krishna's Grihastha Ashrama.
Each and every house, when Narada Maharshi walked in, what did he see there? Krishna was there. Krishna was there with Rukmini. Krishna was there with Satyabhama. Krishna was there with Jambavati. Krishna is there with Satya. And every wife, about 8 or 10 houses, when Sri Narada Maharshi walked in, he saw Krishna there, but doing different things. With Satyabhama, Krishna was playing the chess. Rukmini Devi, Krishna was looking after the children. In another place, Krishna was talking to Uddhava about spiritual life. In another place, Krishna was preparing for a battle, organizing himself. In another place, he was looking after the horses. In another place, he was working in the kitchen, cooking there. In another place, different activities like a householder will do. Krishna was doing different things in different places. So, Sri Narada Maharshi went and saw Krishna at that time. So, finally, Krishna says to him, called him. Narada Maharshi told him, come here, he said. What are you doing here? He said, I'm sorry, he said. Such a thought came to my mind, how you are managing your householder life. He said, Krishna says to him, my dear son, that's how he calls Narada. My dear son, believe me, I'm not a person who just gives instructions to the world and goes away. I'll show it how it works, system. How the system works. In other words, I have given knowledge to this world, spiritual knowledge, and I can show you also to the world how the spiritual knowledge works. And this is how he spoke. Narada Maharshi paid his obeisances, quietly walked out from there, never turned back. So, this whole story is there in the Bhagavatam, Krishna's famous Grihasthashramam. So, what does it indicate? It indicates to us that it is possible, how many forms you want to expand, or in one form if you want to appear. 4 Kumaras are fully realized souls, they could do that. And it is these 4 Kumaras who has come as Prahlada. That you know. Why they had to come? Krishna had to keep up his word. When they went, Jaya and Vijaya were the gatekeepers in the Vaikuntha planet. Jaya and Vijaya were the gatekeepers. 4 Kumaras went there. There they upset. We know the whole story, don't you? What happened in the Vaikuntha planet. The 4 Kumaras went there. And they were all fully naked, young boys they are, 4 or 5 years old they are looking. They don't have any connection with the body. When you have no connection with the body means what? You don't need any clothes, is it not? You need the clothes when you have connection with the body. Otherwise, what do you need the clothes for? So they just walked in and they had many entrances to the Vaikuntha planet. Many entrances they walked through, nobody stopped them. But right before Mahavishnu's apartment came, they put these two were standing there, Jaya and Vijaya. They put the bar, you know, like when you enter into the car park, how that bar falls in front of you. Well, from both sides, they put the bar like this. And somehow or the other, the 4 Kumaras got upset. Then who is they going to stop us from coming here? Do they not know us? And some thought happened to them. And Jaya and Vijaya thought, why have they come to see Mahavishnu like this? In this way, without proper etiquette of not dressing properly, things like that. And that entered into an argument and all that, you know what happened. Result was that, finally, it was actually engineered by Vishnu himself. Because these people, Jaya and Vijaya, they have upset Mahalakshmi one day. She was coming to see her husband. There also they put the bar in the front. Mahalakshmi got so upset with them. Mahalakshmi got so upset with them, they went and complained to the husband, Vishnu. Vishnu said to Mahalakshmi, wait a minute, we will see. I'll get a proper time and I will make sure that they understand. So, these are the pastimes that happened in the Vaikuntham, which says in the 3rd canto. So, Vishnu was waiting for an opportunity to tell them that the way you have dealt with Lakshmi was not proper. She has every right to come to me when she wants to, but you should not have stopped them from her coming and all that. So, this instance what happened was, when they stopped, argument started between the Kumaras and Jaya and Vijaya, and it ended up a serious business. So, Mahavishnu heard about that and came down. And he started apologizing to both. It was my mistake. I should have been careful not this thing to happen. He apologized to the 4 Kumaras. And when all this happened, Kumara says like this, this should not have happened here. First of all,
you too, Jaya and Vijaya, you are standing here as the gatekeepers. You should not be here if you are getting angry, because in Vaikuntha nobody is supposed to get angry, isn't it? But the fact that you are getting angry here, you should not be staying here. You should go. You are not. This is not a place for you. So Kumaras were saying, that's all right, but why come you have got angry with us? You also shouldn't get angry with us. So the fact that both of them got angry, then both of them have to leave from there. Kumaras had to leave and Jaya and Vijaya had to leave. But Jaya and Vijaya were very intelligent. They told Vishnu, we will go. If you want us to go, we will go from here. But we won't want to come back here again. We don't want to leave this place. What has happened has happened. So finally, Krishna cut down all the punishment and gave them 3 lifetimes. You go. But in every lifetime, you will see me. But you won't see me in the normal way. Like enemies, you will fight with me and I'll kill you and you'll come back here finally. So in 3 lifetimes they managed. That's how we see there Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Then next one is Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And then finally Shishupala and Dantavakra. The 3 major incarnations. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, we got the Varaha Avataram and Narasimha Avataram. Through Ravana and Kumbhakarna, we got Sri Rama Avataram and Lakshmana. And in the Shishupala and Dandavakra, we got Krishna Avataram because of that, Krishna's appearance. So, Narasimha Murthy's appearance, Varaha Murthy's appearance, Krishna's appearance, Ramchandra's appearance, all that happened because of this misunderstanding between the Kumaras and the Jaya and Vijaya, gatekeepers. So, at that time, the Jaya and Vijaya agreed to come and have 3 lifetimes in this world. They come. But what about they also, these people, our Kumaras also done something wrong. They also had to come. And that's how Prahlada came. So background is very good. Prahlada's background is very good. That is why Sri Narada Maharshi knew that if I instruct, it may not go to the mother, but it will definitely go to the child inside. Kayadhu, nothing happened. Kayadhu apparently slept. When Narada Maharshi was talking about the self-realization. But inside the womb, that child Prahlada, he picked it up straight away. If 4 Kumaras have not picked it up, who else will pick it up? They picked it up straight away. That's why when Prahlada came out from the womb, he was self-realized already. That realized state it was. Fully matured he was inside. That all he wanted to hear was from a realized soul like Narada Maharshi. And he came out and he was realized. So therefore this problem between him and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is standing there and saying, where is your Krishna? Where is your Vishnu? He is asking this question. And he says there that there is nothing to be looking forward to. He says that Prahlada's case that great, great realized souls are all like this. That they have already realized the truth. So similarly, all these things, why we discuss this here, is that if it strengthens our faith in Shastram, our faith in Krishna's words, it can only be end up in finally the proper understanding. That self-realization happens. Krishna is saying, Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. It is not a simple words. It means something. What does that mean? When self-realization happens, Mayatadamidam sarvam jagad. Everything is based on Krishna. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.